This is Hugh Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee.
Oh, my God.
And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton
McKee. Ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your wigs and keys. It's show 301. It's our fifth year anniversary, and we have all managed to make it. Not on time, but we're here.
Yes.
And you think after 5 years, I think that's commendable. I mean, you started late with us.
In my defense, I'm only 2.5 years.
Right. I see. I get that. You're half our age.
Right.
In many aspects.
In many ways, in fact. Yes. Yeah, let's keep that math going. I like that math. Let's keep that math alive.
For those of you wondering, I'm going to send a shout out to Jenny. Jenny, thank you very much for our keep calm and happy birthday cunt.
That's fantastic.
E-card we got today on the site. I thought that was particularly touching. There was that. Also, I want to let everybody know this show, our special show, we have a new sponsor, American Airlines. We might lose your bags, but we won't kick your ass. So
yeah.
for our fifth year show, they wanted a sponsor and let everybody know that they're out there and they're an option.
Well, I'm late today because of my many interactions today with the good people of American Airlines.
Oh
my goodness. Well, not late. I actually was neck and neck. She was in the driveway first, and then I pulled ahead, and then I was in the mud room first, and then she made it into here first. So, I mean, it was a photo finish.
Okay. And sinks alive coming around the turn.
Yeah.
Now, hey, can I stop you for just a minute?
Sure.
I know you were in California for the weekend, right? I feel like you went to Louisiana at some point, because earlier you used the word fixins, and now I have a mud room.
Isn't that what you call it?
I call it a shop.
Oh, all right.
A mudroom to me is something you have in the Midwest or the South where you take off the muddy boots.
Did you recently watch the Divine Secrets of the Yaya Sisterhood? Because that would get the same results.
But they call them mudrooms in Arizona.
I've heard that, but never associated out here. But
yeah, it looks just like that.
You do whatever, but it's the cleanest
fucking mudroom.
Where you
take off your muddy boots?
I vacuumed the mudroom today.
Yeah, a lot of times people have like their washer dryer in their mudroom.
I haven't
heard of it until I moved to Arizona.
Oh, okay. To me, I associate that with the Southern thing. For those of you in the chat room, hi, welcome. Joe D, Jenny, Aaron from LA, Jacob Tryweiler. At some point, we have decided that you need to come join us because, first of all, Al doesn't think he's ever met you in person.
Ridiculous. No, I have. We've just never.
Okay, there's that. The other one is.
And I said they'd be dangerous.
You'd probably be a good time in here, and there's plenty of room to park your Miata at my house. So you could
probably fit it in the mudroom.
Ooh, good point. Turn on its side. Actually, probably the only fucking car that can fit in my carport since it's too goddamn narrow for anything else other than a bike. But I also want to explain. Oh, hi, Mama. Mama Di is in there. Happy for anniversary.
Hi.
Thank you, Mom.
Hello.
Can you believe it? 5 whole years that people are still listening to us. And we're here doing
Although
this.
Although, admittedly, not many of the same people. I feel like the cast of characters.
Some have changed, yeah. No. Like, what was the gentleman in.
Tyler from Tennessee.
Tyler from Tennessee.
Long gone.
Tyler and Tomo.
Oh, Tomo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got bored. Well, I think he got pissed when I couldn't send him the
Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts.
Oh,
yeah.
When the Pop-Tarts got came really, back, that was a debacle.
Hey,
really
man.
I wanted to explain, though. They were asking in the chat room, how is it that we have done a show a week for 5 years, and that's our show number's 301. Well, small story. We did not start at zero. We started at show number 63. Two reasons. One, it made it appear as though we had done more shows than we had, so maybe people are like, hey, this is catching on, we should listen. Which I'm not, maybe that worked, I don't know. The other one is, I didn't want to start at zero, and 63 is the birth year of George Michael, and that's why I chose that. So we started at 63, we're now at 301, that makes 238. This is the 238th show that we have done. Holy crap!
I know.
Someday we're gonna get
Goodness
it right.
Gracious.
Someday we're gonna get it right, we'll be good.
Oh, and we have to have Miata in the mudroom. We have to.
Wow.
It would fit in there, as a matter
metaphor.
Of fact.
Metaphor. Is that akin to parking your car in the garage?
Man, yeah. Park my Miata in your mudroom, sir.
Yeah.
Wow.
We tell him where poop comes from?
I think Jacob knows. Just a guess.
I'm letting us all go.
Oh, my heavens. Oh, Harrison, I thanked you in the chat room, but thank you again. I received a lovely bottle of Crown Royal. from you by way of Al Perkins for was it for vacuums or fans? Something I fixed. I'm not sure.
Yeah, let's just say for all of it.
All of that stuff.
I love it.
Yes,
and I'm prompt settling of accounts.
Yes, it's quite a thing when you have to ship appliances across state lines to get them remedied.
Yeah,
but here they are. Thank you. You're welcome. And all that good. Hope your carpets are clean.
They were the whole her whole place was clean. She was
leave it alone. Yeah. Just let
that go.
Yep. I just kept looking.
You dirty, dirty bird.
Dirty, dirty whore. Stop it.
But she did do a thorough cleaning of the carpets before. Oh, before my arrival,
before a gentleman caller arrives,
right? Before people yeah. arrive, always
even
make
this
sure.
gentleman caller got a clean carpet as a hello.
Hello, kitty.
Yeah. And we had to keep it a secret because I have had the plague. So, or it's not really the plague. I've just had allergies really bad and mm-hmm. a cough that sounds like God is coming for me today.
Right.
So that's why I didn't call Aaron. Aaron was, well, I think it was a question mark that I was
when I
call,
last saw you.
It sounds like
was,
the
when yeah. I last saw you was that Monday. It was last yeah. Monday when your sister cooked everything for everybody. And you were suffering through it pretty good right there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. My mom went through about we ran a bunch of errands. She she contends that she got sick because she's gotten accustomed to the retirement life and not having to go many places very often. And we went out twice last week to run errands and do stuff. And she says it's just too busy.
Allegedly,
two times out of the house in a week. That's
yeah,
a lot.
That's like, a lot.
Could have been.
But allegedly, allergies across the country, like from New York, they're talking about it on the talk shows, to out here, everybody at the hospital and the doctors are talking about it. Like allergy season across the country is just
in full bloom.
They had a mild winter, so they're going through one thing.
Oh,
California's
that's true.
Had a lot of rain, so they've got all kinds of shit blooming. I've got the Ebola tree in my backyard.
Does that come before or after the locust? I can't remember where that falls.
Wait a minute. The Ebola, I thought the Ebola tree was gone. Like there's nothing in your backyard now.
No, not my, it's the neighbor's backyard.
Oh,
but
okay.
It, you know, it's that yellow yeah. fucking nightmare.
I understand.
So that's why the house is just on lockdown. Like
sure.
there's
nothing's whatever. Getting in.
No.
Gotcha.
We're not testing it, so. But so I apologize. So I was in L.A., but I reached out to no one because seriously, you did not want to be around me. It was just nose blowing and hacking myself up a lung.
Wow, that's an exciting story.
That sounds
yeah. Mixed good. In with some
can
good
you,
drugs. Some
can you
okay
just
drugs.
Face that way?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's. Please. It has counted, like, you know, the recirc air button is always on in the car. Mm-hmm. There are no doors or windows open in the house. Mm-hmm. And I did. We had lovely, lovely weather for like 10 days with my sister here. So we had the doors and windows open every minute, even though I knew, like,
I'm going
to
pay for this.
This will lead to no good. Right. No good
death
will come
is coming
of this fresh
for you.
Air. Yeah. But,
well, I stay on a Walgreens brand anti allergy thing all the time. And I have been fortunate as hell. Nothing has hit me.
Let me get around to what I did. I'll tell you about my new drug of choice.
Oh my God, I'm excited to find out.
I know.
For you to have a new drug and it's not coffee. Holy.
I don't want to hijack someone else's segment so soon.
Well, we have been off a week, so
yeah.
I understand.
I know. I haven't hijacked anybody's segment in a while.
We're 8 minutes in. You're good.
Clean carpenter.
Like
no,
a
I stayed away from their segment.
I feel like that's a lie.
That's a lie. Lies.
Filled with innuendo.
Well, thank you all for we
or
took off.
Innuendo. I'm not sure who's
we took off.
Somebody's
last
in.
Week. We took off not only because of Al's indifference to pollen. We took off a week because it was our post. Pride, and we were all kind of exhausted, and people had things to do, and coming from hither and yon, it was just nice to take a break.
And what a smart plan that turned out to be.
That yeah. really
what
did.
What a much needed day of rest that of respite
was.
That was.
It would not have been a cute show, I
no,
don't think.
No, it
wouldn't. Oh, no, lackluster, probably.
Like a sleep study. Watch these four people put their heads down and
similar
rest.
Similar like the week before and the week before that. Yeah.
Wow. But it's not the listeners resting,
oh,
it's
that's
us.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
Except
bad.
For this time, it's my head on the desk.
My bad.
I'm just going to play a little game of Heads Up 7. I'm
the bell would just go... That's all you'd get. Just a dunk.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Oh, heaven's sakes alive. Well, I don't know what else we've got to catch up on, so we'll start with the round table of love and tenderness. Ow. Ladies and gentlemen, Kat Carlson, what have you been up to?
Oh my gosh. So Pride happened, and like Al said, boy, did it.
Did it happen?
Were you proud?
Often. Yeah.
I love it.
I was proud.
Mm-hmm. I had to wash twice.
The Kat Carlson Memorial VIP Lounge. Let it go.
Total
Let
success. Go. That was a total success, that lounge.
That was a total success, the Cat Carlson Memorial VIP Lounge. And the thing that I love about that.
The Memorial is Island.
Yeah, it is Island.
Are there two things?
Number one, there's two things that I love about that. Number
one. Make
sure
we get this in here. Yeah, there we go.
The Memorial was silent.
Yeah.
Number two, by Sunday night, they're just calling it the Cat Carlson Memorial VIP Lounge off the main stage.
I love it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, I didn't even hear that.
Like, that's find great. Your lost pet yeah. or daughter. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that is Barbara success.
Was up there. Barbara was up there, and I can't remember what she was talking about that. About the VIP area, and she said something about... Over in the Cat Carlson Memorial VIP it. Lounge, and I.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
And you
yeah.
made it.
I hope the Ion AZ people heard that because they lost all credibility. Apparently,
I mean, well, I just kind of overshadowed them accidentally.
It's called promotion and how to do it wisely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. It turns out I'm okay at promotion.
Yeah.
But no, it was really successful, and we like my end of the deal had no problems, and that was lovely.
Yeah, yeah. Relatively smooth, I thought.
We had an exciting parade.
Wow.
We had
a parade. Well,
we had a lot of people that misunderstood a lot about
well,
that.
Well, there were a couple things about the parade. One, the entire crew. I'm going to step on you.
Oh,
I feel like Alfred
do.
Is saying, I'm going to share.
Come on,
I'm
Alfie.
Sharing the moment. I'm trying to save
this
time.
No,
one of the things was, prior to previous years, there was a different team in place that ran the parade. This is an all-new team. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there weren't notes left. You know, like Obama left for 45, like here's how to be a president.
Not that they'd be followed.
Right.
Those are missing.
I mean, apparently they can't find those. But
they're in a binder somewhere.
They're in the Holocaust Center.
Sure, yes. So the parade was run a little bit oddly because things weren't stacked up right. Scripts did not match anybody or anything that was in the parade half of the time.
No. Well, and I think...
But we did have more entries, I think by 10 or 12, than we've ever had in any parade in
30
some years.
More entries than ever, more attendance than ever, more...
Oh, God, a longer parade. That's like my worst nightmare.
Yeah, but it was wonderful. Oh, I mean, okay.
It actually went really... For as out of order as they were, because I think... And I haven't been to the rap meeting, but I think like the most of their problem was that somebody forgot about counting and forgot to put all of the entries like in
sequence.
The order of counting.
Sure. Yeah.
Because it started off awfully early out of sequence and never...
Yeah, never recovered.
Like we caught up for about 10 floats and then, nope, we're out again.
After a disruptive shuffling of papers.
At one point, she got mad and literally threw the script book down and walked
away. I literally
threw
it down. I was like, fuck this.
And I ran back and got it and just happened to... My eye caught one word. Actually, it was Toyota. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that's the financial... That's a car. Mm-hmm. These are car people. And I put it together and we kind of, again, started hunting and pecking for
right.
it. It was a shit show.
Not okay.
But
okay.
we got through it. It's
but we, you know, we did it wonderfully.
Yes.
I thought so. I thought we did it really well.
I thought you guys were kind of horseshit.
But. All right.
No, you were wonderful.
That's fair.
I'm just playing. I had to play. I spent
half
Sharon
the time.
Sharon and the kids left halfway through, so it couldn't have been that great.
Well, and I spent.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that had to do with... The downer.
You think the protest was where they left?
I really do. I might be. I think it was a lot of different, the heat and the this and the this. But I think that just kind of took the mood and went.
Hi, Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Walker.
Hi, Bear.
So for folks that maybe weren't here and haven't caught like the coverage of that, our Pride Parade did experience a protest and a disruption. There was a group called Trans Queer Pueblo, right? TQP? Mm-hmm. I think so.
You read their signs. I didn't.
They
and I read up on it. So
they had it planned out in advance. And Pride kind of caught wind of it ahead of time and reached out to them and said, "Hey, how can we help you in this?
Okay,
like how can we like accommodate this? We believe in your right to protest and say what you got to say. Like, how do we help you?" And unfortunately, it was late in the game to really get all that arranged and get all that kind of ironed out. Mm-hmm. And so we showed up Sunday morning, and I looked across the street, and I saw their T-shirts, and I said, oh, well, there's our protest people right there. This is happening, which I'm not surprised. You know, I would do it at the judges' main stage, too.
Sure.
Well, I found out part of the reason that they did it there is because they thought
Justin Owen would
be there.
President
of Pride was there.
Oh,
right.
I see.
And he wasn't.
Okay. Yeah, they
was there?
They thought that Justin would be there.
The president of Pride.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they wanted to have like this.
No,
he was there, but he wasn't at the
judge's stage for the parade. He's got a billion other things to do.
I don't think I've ever seen him there. I've seen him at the parade, up and down, and other
He'll
places,
go by,
but I've never seen him just sit at the stage there.
There's no need for him.
Yeah, which is fine, but yeah, I think the protesters were kind of hoping for some sort of a confrontation and acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, instead, they were greeted by jump to conclusion, angry spectators.
Okay.
And had to be kind of moved on faster than I think they had planned.
One of the things that I thought was odd about their protest, and maybe this is part of their message, they were talking about what they believe, which I think is incorrect. They're talking about the lack of diversity within our pride, be it trans or minority or whatever you want to call it. But if they're talking about it's all too white, then why the hell are you standing there with a bullhorn yelling at me in Spanish?
But because that wasn't it.
If it's all white, then you should be telling us in English, because otherwise we're not going to know what the fuck you're saying. That's part of what got lost on me, because I'm like, I got no idea what you people are doing, aside from disrupting it. And they were something against law enforcement, because the Phoenix police had just passed and the new sheriff had just shown up, which I was thrilled to announce, and then they disrupted all of that.
Right, and they took him away. And not everyone has like a mind for PR, right? I feel like they were like well-intentioned, and you know, I get where they're going with it, but I think they did a shitty job of putting their message across. Right.
They had apparently been trying those since February and not sticking up, just kind of the other side of, they had been attempting, and finally, early February, they were like, fuck it. Because nobody was listening, apparently. And
nobody
was
nobody
pride.
Okay.
Pride. And it was, apparently it was a lot to do with not necessarily white or lack of diversity as much as it was about safety.
Yeah,
and that pride wasn't, and that was really everything that I read, the big kind of deal. And I thought, okay.
And my understanding is that then this is all from social media reading. Like, I have
struggle for justice of migrant workers.
Right. Well, and I have, like, I've had no contact with their organization. Mm-hmm. I don't have firsthand knowledge of their organization. Yep. I don't think I even know anybody in their organization. Or if I do, I don't know it.
I went to their Facebook page and I looked to try to see, like, is there anyone that I was familiar with? Same thing. I didn't see.
Yeah, so it's my understanding that their cry of we're not safe comes from the cooperative police presence that we have at Pride, which is kind of necessary when you're going to invite 30,000 people to the park for the day. Mm. You kind of need the cops around.
Yeah.
You know, especially
that's part of the price of holding the festival.
Part of the gig. But this group, Trans Queer Pueblo, does not feel that they are treated fairly and safely and equitably by the police departments. Mm-hmm. So they're like, one of their big demands is to kick the police out of Pride so that their group feels safe.
Mm.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know. It's a whole big thing. And again, messaging, people. If you're going to have a gripe, if you're going to have a protest, if you're going to have, you know what I mean? If you're going to make any kind of a demonstration, your message needs to be simple.
Mm. Right.
You know what I mean? If you are feeling targeted by the police, then that should be really apparent in your messaging in English and Spanish.
Right. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
You know, no justice, no pride. What does that mean? Yeah. Do you need lawyers? Do you?
Right. Yeah. Right.
I don't understand.
For?
Right.
Yeah.
You. And seriously, I 100% agree with everyone's right to stage a protest like that. I 100% think that everyone has a right to be heard in a peaceful protesting.
You know,
it's the American way, right? I believe in everyone's purpose for that. But for God's sakes, people, like, get your messaging together.
Yeah.
Organize.
Because I want to be able to, as a spectator, I want to be able to walk away from that and say, oh, they don't like the police. I don't know what's going on with them, but they have a problem with the police.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Or I don't know what the problem with them, or they have a problem with white people, or whatever it is, whatever your issue is.
Right. And since the police has worked so well with the organizers and being part of the community and such a visible, positive presence there, it's hard for me to like hear, like, who's being left out of this? Because every time I go to Pride, I'm like, well, every freaking type of person from A to Z is here being protected by the same people. So who's outside the barricade except for the protesters?
And I had forgotten about just prior, and maybe this adds to their fire, just prior when the Phoenix police constituency walked by, I saw Tom Van Dorn. Mm-hmm. I called out to Tom, and Tom ran over, who was walking arm in arm, basically, with the new chief of police. I forget her name.
I don't remember
her
name either.
Lovely gal. Anyway, walking with them, and I yelled, "Hey, Tom Van Dorn." He came over, hugged me, and she walks up literally right behind me and goes, "Well, don't I get a hug too?" And I'm like, "Sure." So I had just hugged the new chief of police as she's walking by. And again, maybe again, that's, but again, diversity. She's a lovely black woman. Mm-hmm. I'm a overweight, middle-aged white guy. How do you not get a little more diverse than that?
And I agree what Harrison is saying with, I feel like I would want to shower for days after an encounter like that kind of toxic hate.
And I'm not sure if she's responding to a Nant.
I'm sorry.
You know what I mean? I'm not sure if she might be addressing that Bear Walker
it.
Met
got it, yep.
Fred Phelps.
Oh, that I couldn't. Yeah.
They might be on their own conversation.
Also, Bear Walker, you should shower occasionally.
Yeah. I would encourage that's at least weekly.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, if I'm not mistaken, the Fred Phelps morons were here. They were really close to the entrance of the park. Yep. There were like just four or five, a few signs, but they were really nothing in comparison. And every year they seem to diminish more and more and more, which I think is just
wonderful.
The way that the world is going. Well, except for the...
And again, that's the success of messaging, because we spend a lot of time in our own community encouraging people to just ignore.
Ignore them, right.
Ignore, right? Because they're spoiling for a fight. When when those people show up to your pride to protest, they're spoiling for a fight. They want you to approach them, and they want you to antagonize them.
You're right.
And they are bored if we just go to the other side of the street and walk on by.
Yeah. Right.
That takes all of the fuel out of their fire. Mm-hmm. So again, messaging, mm-hmm. messaging.
But there was a second brouhaha at the parade, wasn't there?
Yep. There were two of them.
Buddy brought up two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was. I
a
read
peaceful
that.
One. That
I read that well, but
kinda
it's
earlier.
It
kinda, I thought this one.
Well, there was
peaceful,
there was but. One earlier that we didn't comment on because they weren't anywhere in the script, and
they
was
just the ones who stepped in line, right? A group that's out of nowhere, like we've got nothing.
Just out of nowhere, we were like, we don't know who you are. Have a great day, because I think they were just parade jumpers.
Well, okay.
They were also anti pride.
But they didn't. But they didn't hold up anything. Uh-huh. They just walked in the parade.
Well, yeah, and they had a banner, and that was it.
Aaron was one of them, and what the response that I believe I had from Sharon was similar. But Aaron took off like she was just in tears. Aaron doesn't handle any of that stuff, any kind of real hate interaction, mm-hmm. kind of blah. And all of a sudden, you just saw everybody kind of right around there just change. It was
of five asshole white guys. Which
very fair. Yeah.
It was five guys, all of them just screaming their hearts out about, and tell me if this sounds inclusive, about go home, this is our pride, get out of our parade.
Right.
To the police?
No, to the protesters.
Yep.
To the people that are saying that, hey, pride's not inclusive enough. I got five white guys screaming at them to go the fuck home, get out of our parade.
Fair.
Like I'm still all about the protesters' right to be there. I don't know that I understand their message. I don't know that I believe in their message.
At that time, that she witnessed that confrontation when it happened, Kat and I literally sat down on the on the stage, shut the mics off, and just like let it do its thing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't stand up at one point. She stood up and saw them, and then she started commenting on the mic. Hey, let them say their piece. Yep. Let them do their thing. Let's all just move on with this.
Yeah. Because the crowd got really angry really quickly, and I still think you felt it escalate. Well, yeah, you could definitely feel it escalate.
Because of, like you were saying about mixed messaging, like are they?
Sure.
And especially if you can't hear, like is this some kind of anti-gay
group? It was an anti-gay. You knew that,
right? You could definitely
you weren't there, but I'm saying that you knew that they were an LGBTQ RSTLM group.
Yeah.
Clearly, the RSTLM has something to
At one point, I was confused. I thought maybe Matt could come out with a new color for spring that was horrible. I didn't know what had happened, but it was the first time I had experienced it, and I don't do that well either.
Yeah.
I'm not a confrontational person. Yeah. I'm not going to comment, so I just, we're done.
But, I really wish that day handled that so well. I really wish that day could have gone a little bit differently and had spectators just be a little bit more patient. Right. Because they were registered as a parade entry.
Right.
They were out of order, but they had paid $75 to be in the parade. So they had every right to be there above and beyond.
Right.
There you go.
Else. Yeah, they did.
Right. And I really just wish, instead of screaming at people who are different, that we could just shut the fuck up and listen to what they have to say a little bit.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right.
So aside from that, Mrs. Lincoln,
how was the play?
How was the play? I figured we'd get that off the plate off the top.
I think it's good. I think it's good.
How was my American cousin in parade form?
It was, I have to tell you, the morning of the parade when you showed up and then your rainbow family of love and tenderness.
Oh my God, the rainbow family. And I never got a good picture.
And it was so cute. Her, Sharon's brothers, children show up, and all it's a rainbow of shirts. All the kids had different colored shirts on.
Cat awesome. Carlson will wear VIP shirts.
Did grandma have a shirt on?
Yeah.
Everybody had a shirt. It was so cute. It was so cute.
I saw one picture of that. That was very cute.
Yeah.
I never
got a good picture of the whole rainbow, but I did. I went through the whole rainbow, and I got them all shirts and assigned everybody a color.
That's
and
fantastic.
Yeah. It was a very cute thing to watch all these kids come in. It was just adorable to see. And I like I told you and Sharon, when I looked at her mother and her brother, if you Stevie Wonder could have told that they were related.
Really?
I mean, bam, bam, bam.
They all have big boobs?
No. Mm-hmm. Well,
that's true.
But no, but the mother, like facially, you can just definitely see that they are all related. And the mom's a riot.
Built.
She's a back east Jersey girl. She was funny. Yeah, she's something. Heaven's sakes. Ms. Ryer.
Yeah.
Whatever have you been up to these past couple of days, couple of weeks?
Christ,
rather.
I can't remember after a week.
It's all right. Any new projects at the house?
No.
No?
How's mom?
No, she's doing better. Healing, every day. New melody.
So she's Katie June?
She's Katie June's mom.
Wow.
She's KJ's mom. It's good.
Give her Katie's number. They should talk daily.
Can you imagine? With Katie?
Yeah, what's the matter with Diane?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, it's actually not as much. I did go to prom.
Oh.
Did you chaperone?
We did. I was promposaled.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes.
Yes, I was promposaled.
Stupid word. By Ernie or by some random person?
Yeah, just by Ernie.
Oh, cute.
Put a puzzle together and like put this thing together and ask if I would go to prom. It's very cute.
Oh, that's adorable.
It was real cute.
I mean, he's going to need to throw up a sickness bag, but I approve. But
I just threw up a little bit.
The bell's an innuendo ring from me.
I approve.
Maybe I have been ill. If the correct response is vomit and I'm ringing bells like fucking Tinkerbell. Maybe I've taken the wrong drug.
It's not sponsored by Disney.
Bravo.
Calm down.
Thanks,
maybe.
Bear.
Al believes.
But yeah, it was very interesting. We had a bingo sheet.
Did you get pregnant?
Nope.
Did you have the baby?
Some people may have, though. Yeah, that was part of it. Like, we had as the chaperones.
And how old are these kids?
High school. 17, 18.
They didn't leave enough room for the Holy Spirit between them.
One of them, I could swear to God, was Jared Leto from Suicide Squad. Not handsome Jared Leto. Suicide Squad Jared Leto.
Oh.
It was real interesting to watch some of these kids.
Real, real interesting.
But it was really sweet. Like, to kind of think back. Very fun. Mm-hmm. Some of the kids, the bingo thing that we had was, you know, how many of you saw too much back skin? How many, you know, people did you have to break up as far as making out? Or how many, you know, like just stupid.
Was this a bingo game message for the chaperones only?
Yes,
oh, because I'm thinking, too much back skin. Yeah. There's not an 18-year-old kid in the world who's going to say yes to that.
There was, it was at the Children's Museum downtown, mm-hmm. and three levels. They got all three levels. Here's the problem. All of them are in, like, come fuck me pumps. Some of the guys, too. And they're all
diversity
in these shoes. And no one could use the elevator.
Why?
They were not letting the kids use the elevator.
Oh.
I was like, that's a liability issue.
Because that's how teen pregnancy happens.
That's right.
Loving an elevator.
You got to elevate those feet to relieve the...
But anyway, so we did
that's
that.
That's an ASU
and
joke. That's a Gamage joke.
We did that. And Sunday...
Fuck the fairies.
Something. Sunday will be our 6-year anniversary. So just love in the air.
Oh, how sweet.
How do lesbians count it? Is it like dog years? Is it like 42? Because if it's 6 times 7, I don't know how. Is it different?
I think that's fair.
What? I think it's a fair question. I'm just trying to figure it out because I'm told there would be no math.
If a gay couple and a lesbian couple have been dating for a year...
Right, because the lesbians buy the truck or rent the truck the next day,
second,
move in.
Second date, that's right.
Moe's will give it like six months
to
a year.
Aaron and I are doing everything we can to go anti-stare. Like just
they
other way of stereotype.
Still
we still
live
don't
together.
Even live together.
When you sell them
that's
Subaru.
That's dog related though.
Yeah, well.
That's true, that is dog related.
I'm going to advise you to keep the same dogs.
Yeah.
Because if the dogs are keeping you two from being in the same house, keep the dogs as long as you can.
Longevity.
Right, because of the wonderful things
he does. Yeah.
No,
that's right.
No, I think the dogs are a very nice buffer at this point to keep, because you never know.
No, you're right.
And if it all goes to shit, blame it on the fucking dogs.
It is the dog's fault.
That's right.
Everybody you
wins.
Dog.
Everybody wins. You bitch.
Did they have an escape clause built right in? It's the dogs.
That's right. So,
anyway, I feel like I need a dog.
It's very exciting.
Is it going to help?
Never does.
Never does.
No story got better because a dog entered it.
Well.
No.
Hey, they wouldn't know how to move. Old Yeller. I mean.
Yeah, again, doesn't end happy.
No,
yeah.
But it makes a story.
There's less dog at the end of the story.
Oh, well, I've never seen that. Oh.
More Korean barbecue, less dog.
So I could use it. I would just get off a clip.
Oh my God, Old Yeller's terrible.
I know, I can't see it.
Oh my God.
That and Fern and Dan and Ann or something. I don't
know.
Oh,
where the red fern
grows? Red fern grows. Something. Yeah, fuck
I
that.
I could read Turner that chapter and still snot bubble crunch.
I did like that one.
Oh, Turner Hooch. Now, what's the other one? No, there's one that we're...
Beethoven?
No, Beethoven.
Oh, God, that movie that just came out, A Dog's Purpose. That just looked like...
Oh.
That dog dies three times in that fucking
did
movie.
Did Ernie... Oh, more than that. It's over and over again. Well, probably three times
would be over and over if you're not paying attention.
Yeah. No, but it seems like there was...
But we were... We were going to see it.
What's the name of the... Oh, God damn it.
But then heard a dog in it. So
it's not Matilda. It's the dog's name starts with an M.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
And it's...
Owen Wilson in it.
And a big guess. And they're in a big city.
Oh, yeah. Marley and Me.
Oh, no, I read that book and cried like a little bitch.
Also very sad. Yeah.
Owen Wilson can't even make that funny.
No, Jennifer Aniston.
No, it was not meant. Movie's not meant to be funny.
There's not much. There's not much sadder than watching Owen Wilson cry. Let me tell you that.
Watch Jennifer Aniston cry.
I said that's one of those movies when I saw the trailer and I said, "Are you fucking kidding me? Like that dog's purpose?" I'm like, no. Who's gonna go see that? Dog lovers will be killing themselves.
It's emotional porn.
Yeah, it is. For no reason.
Jenny, how
sometimes
long...
Sometimes people just need to cry and they need a little
emotional. How long
have
you and your
them.
Partner been together? I forget.
As the Disha. Thanks, Jenny Marley. Yeah, we got it. All right, forget
you.
It wasn't
our second date. See, Jenny, work against the stereotypes. We've got people working against stereotypes.
We're trying.
We're inclusive here.
I feel like we're succeeding.
Did you happen to go to a chain restaurant for your first or second date?
Oh, that's a Buddy Early thing.
Was there a Red
Buddy
Lobster?
Buddy Early firmly believes in the Red Lobster / Olive Garden
only
lesbian
for,
connection.
Only for lesbians.
I love Red Lobster.
Is it Dunbar Restaurants?
Was there a Brenda or Robin there? Do you remember? He's so dumb.
Was anybody
was
wearing
their names Brenda or Robin?
Was anybody wearing Doc Martens or Crocs?
Yeah.
I just need to know. or a woven belt.
25. I knew it was a long time. Jenny and her,
oh, 25.
And her partner have been together.
Wow.
25 years, yeah?
That is a quarter century in most places.
I do remember that.
Look
it was
you.
A long time. I just didn't realize. That it was that long.
Wow. I've almost lived in Phoenix that long. Wow.
Congratulations. That's wonderful. Well, anyway, but yeah, so very excited. It's just been, and mom's 23 years of sobriety is Thursday. So
I was going to have upstairs to celebrate this week with you.
Oh, Jesus.
How did we snare you that week to do a show?
I know.
Yeah, but, no kidding.
But that...
Well, plus a production meeting.
Right.
Which was a couple weeks prior, right?
That's right. That production meeting was so much fun.
The actual 5 years is like the 19th or something. The production meeting was just like 2 days ago. It was on all of our feeds.
Right, but we actually... The 12th of April was our first show.
Oh, was it 12th?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why we're doing it today.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd be doing this next week, Al. Not sure what calendar you're working from, my friend. Well,
again, we were told there would be no math.
There is no,
there's no math.
Again, this is a 238th show
that
for those
Jenny.
Keeping score at home.
And Nat wants to know how old Jenny is. She says 26. Well done.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, how long have you been there?
That's right.
I love that.
Well
I love that I picked a random date. I thought it was the April 19th. I don't know where I got that from.
12th of April.
Wow.
That's my brother-in-law's birthday, so I'm like, well, that seems like something I want to remember.
12th
but I guess not.
Never.
Since his card is still on the table with all the other cards I haven't sent.
I'd use an e-card if I were you. Okay, Al, aside from hacking...
I actually like actual cards.
Oh, I agree with you.
But my new thing is to buy them and never send them.
Yeah. Oh, I have so many birthday cards. I'm like, and then I got the... Their birthday was last week.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'll send it next
my
year.
My mom and her sisters used to go to the store... And just go and buy cards, and they'd stand there for hours just reading all the cards and laughing hysterically, and they would just buy endless cards, birthday, anniversary, they'd buy all these cards so that they would always have a card at home to send or give, or they would always be ready for them.
Oh my God, I need to do that.
But I remember going to the stores with them as a little kid, and they would... Just
that's one of Harrison and I's favorite
forever.
Things to do is just go to stores and read.
Oh yeah,
read funny greeting cards, and they need to be the funny ones, like the Mike and whatever his name is,
and the shoebox or the old lady.
Yeah.
Oh my God, those and the my grandma used to ruin it for me though because
grandma,
I damn it, I would go. I went up to her, you know, she had her little desk, and I went up to her desk one day, and I was looking, and I was, well, what's that? And she had all up, because, you know, you have to be, like, on top of the stuff, and everything has to be done, and she already had all those fucking envelopes, like, on January 1st, January 2nd, she did those goddamn envelopes. Labeled, so they were addressed, they were stamped, they were everything, and she had the cards already set out.
Did she already have the $5 in them?
Right.
It depended, because sometimes my grandmother had to subtract money in case we owed her.
Shut up. Oh,
my grandma was awesome.
She ran prompt settling of accounts.
You're right.
Grandma
$5 your birthday minus the $3 for that stick of bubble gum.
My grandma was brilliant with that. And people were like, well, that sucks. You didn't get a present. I'm like, but I don't have to pay her back either.
Was grandma a bookie? What the hell?
I've known loan sharks that were more forgiving.
I was thrilled.
Old lady, your husband's not dead. He's hiding.
It was if I had borrowed, like, say, $200, she'd be like, subtract birthday gift of 50. She would put that in there.
Wow.
And she'd be like, you know, so now you only owe 150. Happy birthday.
And my dad, who never sent a card in his life or wrote a piece of correspondence in any way, shape, or form, whenever my mother would say, like, oh, we have to go to the store and get a birthday card for somebody, he's like, why don't you just buy birthday cards for the whole year? They don't go bad in the box. And he always, and I never really got what he was going for with that expression.
Right.
And then I realized he was just like, do that. Just buy a truckload of birthday cards at the beginning of the year. And have your own, like, no, that would be like, well, just get a card store then. Like, you know what I mean? Like, years later, when I realized what he was telling her to do, I'm like, well, that makes no sense.
Oh, I can see it in the mall now. Perkins Hallmark, the store that Ruthie loves.
But only for her, because she's got to have a selection of cards. It was very funny. Because some jokes he just told wrong. You know what I mean? Like, he heard something on Welcome Back, Kotter one time that he used as his own personal joke for years.
Okay.
And it wasn't until we saw Welcome Back, Kotter rerun that we were like,
now it's
now that's what you're supposed to say. So I just assumed he was saying something fucked up to her, and then I realized, he's saying buy them in advance and do all your birthday cards on, like, January 1st.
That's why she had them all done.
And now we've met the person that was listening. Yeah,
totally.
In the universe, someone received the message.
Yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah. No, but that's what my mom, my grandma used to do the same thing. They would all buy pre-stuff. Now, my grandmother, interestingly enough, was it, Mom, you'll have to remind me, was it anniversary or was it birthday? My grandmother, it was for one of those, I think it was his birthday, she gave him the same birthday card their entire life. Like, she gave him the card when they got married, like, for whatever anniversary or birthday, and she saved it, and every year she would re-give it to him. Like, she would have it.
Okay. She didn't buy 70 copies. She just took it back.
Right. She kept it. And then,
like, thrift, too.
And then she would, like, set it out by the coffee maker on the coffee table. And, you know, he'd wake up in that whatever, again, birthday anniversary. And it would be there, and he would read it again. Now, I'm not sure. He might have not remembered what it said year to year, but the sentiment was the same. But it was a cute little.
That's really funny to see how long it took before he was like, hey. I've seen this card before.
Yeah, but you're saving nickels. You're saving nickels.
Nickels. I like her old nickels.
Atta girl.
Bag of nickels.
I couldn't sleep with a gun. He was packing a roll of dimes. Yep, I've used that in conversation.
Give me your 50 cent pieces. Come on.
I will put it back in there.
Everyone has seen that penis.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I tried to put something into the chat room, and it didn't work.
Anniversary. Thank you, Mom. Thank you.
I will put it back in a minute.
I know, that is funny that it was like, oh my God, what could possibly be said here that is too far?
I know,
okay,
right?
What, Meow Cow, what are you trying to, what happened? We have a crisis, there's a random deleted.
See the deleted in the middle? You're just not fun.
I did that.
Okay.
And
but everyone trying to figure out, like, what was so horrible that it went up on the board and got deleted.
Wouldn't you like to fucking know? I don't know, because I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. Self-manage your own chat room.
It'll get there in a minute.
Self-manage.
The chat room farted.
There is a chat room alongside the YouTube that Al monitors that I don't even check on ever. So
I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, I monitor that. Oh yeah.
Hey, get on that.
Get somebody check on that, please.
That is what I was just doing. Funny you should mention it.
I'm right on top of that, Rose.
Get on it, Rose. Yes. So aside from hacking and spitting up everything, you saw shows in
Oh my God.
Didn't you see shows
did you
in Cali? Oh, yeah, we're still there.
I saw a parade. Oh, that's just what I did.
I did not see a parade. I'm not a fan of the parades.
What was your reason for going?
I've done like 2 in 10 years. Yes, the season tickets continue at the beautiful Pantages Theater.
Got it.
Site of several Oscar ceremonies. I'm not sure which ones. We saw An American in Paris this week, and then a couple of movies, which we'll chit-chat about.
Okay.
Lovely time the weekend before that. It was my sister's 40th high school reunion, and they did the 30th was here in Phoenix. The 40th was in Vegas.
Okay.
So there was people from other classes and that went. Two girls that were actually very close friends with my middle sister.
Okay.
So just a little bit less older than me than the class that graduated. I knew them a little bit better. We've stayed friends. We've stayed in contact. We're in, you know, a lot of communication on Facebook, and we enjoy each other's company. So it was nice because I don't get to see them very much. So we got a little holiday out of it too.
Oh, nice.
A death-defying land in the Las Vegas Aeropuerto.
This is what I wanted to hear.
Okay.
Yeah. Because as I was checking the... Well, allergies going on. The Ebola tree is in my backyard. We were enjoying the open doors and fresh breezes. And then I did the... I forgot my no jinx rule. And I did not say no jinx. So I said the day before we left for Vegas, I'm like, it's been a week with the windows and doors open. The Ebola tree is in full bloom, and I haven't needed a Zyrtec or my inhaler yet.
Dumbass.
Dun, dun, dun! It all went fucking wrong.
Oh.
So as the whole week had gone on, and we were looking at the weather for Vegas, it had this symbol that I was not familiar with, and I actually had to Google what the symbol was.
Get the fuck out of Vegas?
For their weather pattern. And it meant windy, which I had never seen the weather.
Oh, it's a nice swirly thing.
Yeah, it's a little swirly thing. And I'm like, does that mean tornado? Like, what the fuck is going to happen in that
roll
picture?
Over Beethoven?
Well, it meant windy, and Vegas is always very windy. So I was like, all right, I guess windy is something you put. I mean, I've been to Chicago a few times and never saw windy as the weather forecast.
It's just
recently.
Tuesday.
Well, I've only been to Chicago once since I've had a phone that had this feature. So it may have been in a place that I never saw. So... As we're taking off, we're all talking about this terrible wind, like we're in Into the Woods, second act, and this terrible wind has come along, and people are joking about where we're going to get diverted to, because obviously everyone has been watching the news and the weather and knows about this wind that's going on in Vegas, and the one lady's like, well, I'm actually, like, just a layover, I'm trying to get to Reno, so if we divert to Reno...
I'm good.
Yeah, flight's over. Like, everybody wins. And you could hear this going on. And I kind of dozed off. I was a little bit sleepy. And I woke up.
It's a 30-minute flight.
Yeah, I mean, they said it was a short nap. Rip Van Winkle, the motherfucker. So I wake up, wow. And I look out the window, and I feel us kind of make a turn, which should not happen, because it's pretty much one straight line in the plane, you're done. And the pilot says, well, there's, you know, the wind is going on, and they don't want you behind the... What's it called? The behind the plane in front of you. Why can I never remember that?
The jet stream.
Now
I just called for a stewardess.
It's not the jet stream. It's like the wake of a boat, but it's what planes.
Oh, right. I hear you. Yes.
And I can't think of that word. But they did. So they needed like 15 minutes between flights. So they were having us circle Vegas, but we weren't circling Vegas. We were circling Kingman. Like we hadn't even made it to Lake Mead yet.
Okay.
So we circle for like 20 minutes.
I think they call it the wake. Wake turbulence is turbulence that forms behind an aircraft as it passes through the air, causing
that would make sense.
Wingtip.
Yeah, I thought it had a fun name.
I did too.
Some in the chat room. It's called something. So, anyways, so we circle Kingman, beautiful Kingman, and then we decide we're going to make our approach to Vegas, which is like, you know, 3 feet further in an airplane.
Yeah.
And I look down, and there's like one cloud, like seriously one cloud bank, and a perfectly blue sky. Like, just sitting between Kingman and Vegas. It was the crazy... I meant to take a picture, but I couldn't do it. So, all of a sudden, I saw what looked like rain. You know how when you see a cloud in the distance, you can see the rain? You see that little streak? And I was like, oh, look, it's raining over the desert. That's kind of cool. And I'm like, oh, wait, that's dirt going up, not rain coming down.
How about jet wash?
Nope.
Because that's what happened to Goose.
I cannot remember. Yes. Yeah. It's
good call.
Like it is the wake, but I feel like it has a better name. So anyways, we go down, and then we look down at Lake Mead, and Lake Mead, of all things, has whitecaps.
Oh, wow.
And I told my sister,
as low as it is.
This is going to be bad.
Wow.
Like, if Lake Mead, a body of water the size of a bathtub, has actual white caps on it, that's got to be some fucking wind. And then we, like, just skidded across it. And it was, like, sideways, bucking up and down, like, people vomiting, crying, prayers going on. My sister's holding on to the seat in front of her. I'm just like, just gun this motherfucker and land it. Like, go as fast as you can into it and get us on the ground. Like, I don't care. If we lose a couple people, we lose a couple people. You know what I mean?
Were you, like, holding chickens? Was this a tiny...
It's a biplane? 737.
Yeah. No, 737.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
It's Southwest. It's all they fly. So it was crazy. And then we like, land at the airport. Terrible. I look at the yellow sky, and I'm like, all right, there's a dust storm coming. And you get that same look that you always do from people that don't live in Arizona, or now it turns out Vegas, too, that just have never experienced...
Right. A wall
a
of dirt.
Dust storm. That the sky goes yellow and then all hell breaks loose. But it's only in the summer. I've never seen one in the spring.
That's
true. Never seen a dust storm.
Well, climate changes.
It must be.
There's no such thing.
It's just, well, no, we solved it.
Oh,
so anyways, I had just never seen it. So, of course, it lands. Then we're in that semi-open airport. Then we're in a car that didn't have the recirculated air. And then all of a sudden, my lungs fill up with the plague. And then the cigarette smoke. Then the power goes out at the Tropicana. So the tower, the rooms
that
have no water, no
power. That was the
only thing
that I saw about your trip, was something about the Tropicana losing power.
Yeah, they lost power. We were stuck. We had money and cards and a slot machine, blah, blah, blah. But it turned out to be fun, but you combine cigarette smoke.
It's a lot.
An open air haboob.
I'm getting a coffee. It's coming.
So, I mean, it was just crazy. But it was so much fun. We had a good time. The party was fun. We saw a comedy show.
Or fasten seatbelts. I'm not sure which one, which thing that is.
As long as you don't have to get off the plane.
Please return to your seats.
Put your trays in the upright
position. Yeah, upright and locked position. Is that what you're doing on purpose?
No, it just I have Facebook up because I'm going to play a soundbite in a minute.
Oh, okay.
And if people keep commenting on things on Facebook, it just gives you an alert.
So we saw.
No, I'm not doing it on purpose.
We're so popular, we can't help it.
So funny comedy shows, blah blah blah, and then the party was great fun seeing everybody. We did a night down at Fremont. That was a good time. Ooh.
I still have never been to Fremont Street.
The Fremont experience is fun. It's not as fun. It's not the same as the old Fremont experience where it was just you
drugs
and three
hookers.
Homeless people. Yeah. But, I mean, it really is a good time, and you did hashtag Fremont Street, and your picture would come up. It comes up across the thing. There's people.
The ceiling thing makes me seasick. I can't.
It's a lot to take in, but then there's people zip lining across. Some of them are, like,
I wanna do
flying. Some of them are sitting. Fun. The sitting one is shorter. We saw some great bands. There was one band doing, like, 80s rock covers, like, you know, like Living on a Prayer kind of shit. And then another song.
Hair band?
Yeah. Another band that I like,
shit.
A song that you know and you like the guy's voice, but you don't really like the song.
Right.
Like when you hear.
Anything Bryan Adams does, that's how I like. That's why I'm.
No, this is like one of those rocker, everybody shake your fist in the air where you're like. He's got a great voice.
Twisted Sister.
It might be, but the song is shitty. And the next time I hear it, I'll Google it.
We're not going to.
But then we went down and saw.
Feel the noise.
No. It's like somebody with a truly lovely voice, like not screaming. Like they really do have a beautiful voice.
Is it Cinderella? Don't know what you got till it's gone.
Winger.
Yeah, one of them.
Winger.
Cinderella can't get up on
but
time.
But it's like really like it's like Living on a Prayer. Famous this song. I just don't know the name of it.
Would you like to spend the next hour just naming every hairband song?
Shut up. No, that's you guys.
Is it Europe?
Travel exhaust.
Tesla?
So.
Asia.
It was fun. Fun bands. And it really was fun. We settled on an 80s, like 70s, 80s Sticks. Cover band doing like rock. Doing Austin. Like, not doing rock. They were doing like new wave, like Devo and the Go-Go's and like, you know, middle of the road new wave from the early 80s that white people liked.
Uh-huh.
And it was delightful.
Fucking white people.
And there's a new hotel down there called the D or something that kind of focuses on 80s.
Oh,
I think it's called the D. It's down on Fremont Street. I can't remember what we figured out. What hotel was missing? Maybe the Horseshoe is missing now. And so, but it was an 80s themed bar. So like the go-go dancers in the bar are dancing to 80s music, and all the bands that are playing are all like they had Flock of Seagulls coming. They had Human League coming. They had. Like, real. I mean, like, as we were watching the thing, I'm like, well, this seems to be a whole theme. And
not impersonator bands. Like, the actual bands were showing?
People, yeah.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah that's what. And so the music was all that, but so this cover band
it's
was.
It's a geriatric hotel.
Yeah,
then.
This cover band was really quite fun.
The Flock of Seagulls is just maybe a couple birds now. I'm not sure if it's a flock.
Oh, it's the main guy. The guy with the.
Haircut 100, maybe haircut one.
It's like three pigeons and a parakeet.
And I'm always so sensitive about the flock of seagulls because to me they, to me they weren't a one-hit wonder. They had two lovely songs in that shitty I Ran So Far Away business.
Yeah, and he does not like that song.
No, I don't either.
The lead singer.
I hate that song.
Did it work?
Maybe.
So, but the other two songs.
This might have worked. It was, Jenny, it's the t-shirt that I have on. That's all I was trying to do.
So it was fun. Sorry, and then this, and then, you know, tried to work, tried to do drugs. And but I got on this drug, and I'm going to Google it for you.
Wait a minute. We're going to gloss over the trying to do drugs?
No, I said I'm going to Google what the name of it is.
No. Oh, you made it sound as though you were doing drugs in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
You just doing everything. I was
over
on
the counter.
Never mind.
I was going to say, Nicolas Cage was in that
movie.
Did
you find some new party drug to do, Alfie? That's what I'm thinking.
No, no, no. But for those who are suffering from this bad allergy season and have the asthma kicker, as I do, it's called Montelukast. I'm not really sure exactly how you pronounce it. It goes by singular.
I was going to say, it's generic singular.
Yeah, that's the commercial that goes on, and you...
My kids are on it.
Yeah.
Like, you read the fucking commercial, Kat? What is that?
No. Oh, when I pick it up at Walgreens, it says Montezuma Cast or whatever the fuck it says.
And it's named after Montreal where it was created. That's the Monty part. But anyway, so if you're suffering from it, let me tell you, you take it one at night before bedtime, or if it's exercise asthma you have, then 2 hours before your exercise is going to happen. And it has changed the tide of the war. I have not taken... I took Sudafed just because I didn't want to cough through somebody's $100 theater experience. But, you know what I mean? I took everything to make sure I was alive for that.
Yeah, it helps you breathe, but it's not an
antihistamine. It's not a rescue inhaler.
Right. It's not an inhaler.
It dries up. It attacks leukocytes or whatever they are.
Yeah.
It does all that business. And it helps you need your rescue inhaler less, which has worked. Since I was using it 4 times a day up until I started on that, and I now have used it like 3 times since then, the rescue inhaler. Rescue inhaler that I expired 5 years ago that I still had in my pocket.
Oh, wow.
I went through that like after not using it hardly ever. Wow. I was like dependent on that. So if you're going through allergies or you have the asthma, cannot recommend this because it has changed the tide of the war. So I'm all on board with Singulair and whatever it's called.
Wow.
But I mean, I have been.
Now there's a new allergy drug that just went from prescription over the counter, too. So if you cycle through like all the Claritins and the Allegras and all of that.
Oh, Zyrtec is the one that usually keeps me alive. But
Zyrtec's what I'm on.
Zyzal is another one. Zyzal. It's XYZAL.
Yeah. Because seriously, since we've seen each other last, I have just been sick.
And if you subscribe, nothing but sick. If you subscribe to your Sunday paper, there are lots and lots of coupons
for all
of those for Zyzal for all of those allergy medicines.
Oh, I gotta find that.
Yeah, look in your paper, or if you need one, call me. But
yeah,
funny.
And Sudafed
the coupons.
And I was trying to stay off it, the Sudafed, but when it's time, and you just gotta break down and do the crack.
Yeah, Zyzal.
And just do the meth lab.
Cracking me up. I don't know why.
I can't take it. It dries out my sinuses so bad. They just like I get nosebleeds if I take.
I'm with you too. But I'd rather have a bleeding nose than that cough.
No, I had like a 2 day. Nose.
And then the ears didn't pop for 5 days.
Oh,
I went through.
That. That's brutal.
Five days of plugged up ears. I was ready to.
Stab myself in the ear with a fucking ice pick because that you just wanted to release.
And that's why we're doing free infomercials for Singulair because I was
because that helped.
Down.
What to adding to your little world, one thing that I still do, and I have a friend that just tried it and he was not expecting I guess what happens with it. We've talked about it before. The sinus irrigation, the bottle squeeze the salt saline solution. I love that. Mm-hmm. I every morning you get up, sometimes I do it midday if I take a shower late in the day. Everything's open. I can inhale a Buick about at any time. Just breathe in. It's lovely, but it is shocking what your body traps in those nasal cavities that needs to get
so gross.
Kicked out.
Oh,
I mean, it's worse than a passenger on United. I mean, we're going to beat that shit up and flush it right out of there. This is horrible, but it's good. It keeps me up. But the nosebleeds, I believe, because of that, the nosebleeds have subsided over the years. What?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and Aaron was saying he was part of a test where 20% of the people have panic attacks. You do. Like, I get the fluttering heart and the feeling of claustrophobia and, from from the Sudafed. Every allergy medicine gives me that. Even my inhaler gives me that feeling of, like, the world is ending. But seriously, when you can't breathe,
But that's a real issue when you go back to work on September 11th.
Oh, yeah.
2001.
Oh, I mean, that's just the world taking a giant shit. Jenny, I'm no. Around that.
Jenny, it's no not a kidding. Neti pot that I use. It's not the neti pot. They terrifying. Make it. But no, this is the squeeze bottle that you...
It's, I was just saying, it's the same philosophy. The neti pot just relies more on gravity.
Gravity.
Whereas the squeeze bottle just rockets the saline up and out of your sinuses and back out the other side. Yeah.
Fire a rocket up there. Be good. I had a during the parade that we were talking about earlier. Part of my what have I done on summer vacation? I had an interesting brush with greatness. I know I told you about this story, Al, when I was at your house having food. From your sister who cooked wonderfully. In fact, I'm not done. There's still two little meatloafs in my fridge.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I didn't read ahead during our scripts to find out who anybody in the parade was. I just assumed that the normal suspects would be there, the banks and the churches and the like. Well, our Grand Marshal was none other than the male Grand Marshal was Stacey Lewis, who has been on this show. Mm-hmm. He was there. And then following him in another vehicle was... the lovely and talented performer, Belinda Carlisle. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know Belinda was in the parade. I just happened to catch it and read it and like, oh, Belinda's here. Oh, look, there she is. Mm-hmm. So I walked to Belinda, as one host of a parade does with a live microphone and throngs of people there.
Tens of people.
And I'm announcing her, ladies and gentlemen, she performed last night, blah, blah, blah. You know her, you love her. You know, the whole buildup.
Making shit
Belinda
up.
Carlisle. I do the whole thing. Everybody's, bro, I hand her the mic. Like, you know, because I'm assuming.
She's seen a microphone
you're
before.
You're Belinda Carlisle, and you've been performing for 40, 30
she
years.
She has not been paid to sing at this parade. She was not going
to
sing.
So I was, no, I wouldn't expect her to sing at all. But I was like, I hand her, I, you know, I welcome her, and I hand her the mic, and she looks at me, and she literally says to me, what do I do? Oh. And I said, talk to the people. Oh.
Belinda, heaven is a place on earth. Figure it out.
So she then grabs the mic and in a very uncomfortable, I've never been on stage before. This is my first rodeo. Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming. Happy Pride. Whatever the hell it was. Anyway.
The chat room is its own animal.
I'll get there in a minute. So anyway, she says hi, she hands the mic back, and I was just dumbfounded that somebody who has been on stage in front of millions of people over many, many years has no idea what to do in a parade with a microphone.
Right. How many gay pride parades has she been in?
Doesn't matter.
It really doesn't
matter. It may have
been
her first time. She might have been nervous.
I mean, I guess it would have been if there had been a...
She's not going to catch gay.
A click track that would have started her song. I just thought it was kind of funny.
If she didn't catch it when she was part of the Go-Go, she's immune.
Now, I wonder what she'd have said if I'd have said, ladies and gentlemen, Jane Wheedland. Yeah, right. Oh, no. Oh, no, bitch. Oh, no. So that was kind of funny.
She had gotten fired.
So over the course of...
Gina Shock is with us.
So over the course of this week, like I said, my mom had some allergy or something had gotten to her as well. So I made a run to Walgreens for her to pick up some various items that she specifically told me not to go do. But I'm like, well, I'm coming over and I'm going and getting these things anyway, because you're not going to be in your house and not have some method of which to stop coughing, sleep, any of these things. So I went and got all this stuff for her. Well, stick a pin in that and then go with, we've been enthralled with, many of us have been enthralled with the Feud series.
Fuck
the,
off,
the,
Sylvia.
The Bett and Joan.
Yep.
Betty and Joan. I love it. And this past Sunday, holy shit, a whole other level of crazy we got, which I loved. Anyway, we'll probably talk about that in a minute. But anyway, I'm standing.
Still, I know I'm behind.
Oh, God damn it.
Harrison doesn't have a TV or cable.
I will come over. I would like to watch this. This one is nuts. Joan goes fucking crazy in this one. It's fantastic. Anyway. So I'm standing in Walgreens, and again, you know how you hear things and you're like, what? That seems very familiar. So I'm standing in the middle of Walgreens and I hear this.
Tylenol 8-hour arthritis pain has two layers of pain relief. The first is fast. The second lasts all day. We give you your day back. What you do with it is up to you.
Okay, but when she says...
Fuck off, Tylenol.
Right. But what got me was when she says, the first one, fast. I mean, I'm like, that sounds like Betty Davis. I'm like, and it's one of those little things that kicks out coupons if it notices you walk by or whatever. I'm like, I'll be goddamn that Susan Sarandon. So what do? I remembered that, and when I got home, I Googled it. Well, apparently she's been doing Tylenol commercials for fucking ever. So I've been watching it.
Like, Mama's got to make money.
Well, of course she does.
Did you tweet to her and tell her that you heard her ad?
No, but I will. Well, I have an opposition to Tylenol only based on him and his constant warnings about Tylenol. But I was enjoying the shit out of the fact that...
Careful monitoring.
Betty Davis is doing Tylenol commercials. It just cracked me up that I was literally in the middle of... Walgreens by myself, and it just caught my attention. I'm like,
we give you your day back. What you do with it is up to you.
Oh my god,
And the funny thing about it is that she truly looks like Betty Davis. And Doug and I commented about this like back in the late 80s when she was like doing her heyday number two. She really does, but she's not. It's so funny that she's not at all doing a Betty Davis
caricature
impression.
Imitation. Like, doesn't sound like her. Except for her line readings when she's actually trying to recreate the movie.
Yeah.
But any other time, she's never trying to do that.
Oh my
weird...
God. Did you see the video that Matt Maraska posted today?
Oh, of Joan Crawford
side by each from like the actual footage to the film and how.
Oh, I mean, for the film, striking. She is imitating Betty Davis playing Baby Jane, but she doesn't sound like.
Oh, I think she does when she's talking because she's shortening her words up a little bit. She's doing it when she talks.
It's very, very... It's not like... Betty Davis is one of those people that you can really imitate.
It's not an impersonation.
It's not... Yeah, not at all.
But it sounds... To me, at least...
Oh, no, that doesn't sound... Like, to me, I was like... I would just know that it's Susan Sarandon.
No, I can hear the Susan Sarandon, but when she talks, it's not...
Tylenol 8-Hour Arthritis
it's not
Pain
that
has
voice.
Two layers of pain relief.
That's a much more calm voice. That's just a regular.
Yeah.
She's ramping up a little. But the staccato that she's speaking.
I'm on that crazy Joan Crawford page on Facebook.
Oh,
that
I am
is
too.
Just insane people.
I'm on it too. Yes.
They are. They
I need
help.
To be on that.
Oh, it is. It's interesting. Dion Brown got me on that one.
Yeah. They
the Joan but Crawford they, exchange.
Yeah. Everyone in that sentence needs a lot of help.
Yeah. because but, then I mean. Joan could have shit on the center of the stage at the Oscars in 1963,
and they would be worshiping at the shrine.
Right,
of
they'd
the
be
shit.
Fine.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, they would want to go to the stage and touch the wood where her shit laid. That's what they'd want to do.
He said, "Touch the wood."
Touch the wood. Well, yeah,
out on the boards.
It's innuendo. That's where the wood goes. Innuendo.
Where's the bells?
Yeah, the bells. Innuendo.
So anyway, that was funny to me. That all of a sudden you hear a voice. You're like, oh, well, that's interesting. Other than that, I'm sure there's been other exciting things, but I can't remember what any of them are at this point. But weather's been beautiful. House has been open. It took me a better part of a week to clean up the workshop where I build all the computers and stuff. Literally, after we loaded out of Pride that night,
that shit was gross.
I set that shit all in the boxes in the mudroom, and then I just let it sit there for 3 days. And I didn't do much for 2 days because it takes a couple
days
to get off of that.
Oh my God! Monday night, I died. A sudden and horrible death on my sofa and woke up hours later not knowing where I was, what day it was, is the sun going up, is the sun coming down, I'm not sure what's happening.
Sure. But either way, I think about you.
The sun comes up,
I think about you.
Oh. Jeremy Jordan.
Yes, I think about you.
Yeah, so you got those all cleaned up?
Oh, Buddy Early has just posted that he just messaged me. He thought about doing a surprise pop-in. However,
Better things to do.
No, he has an upset tummy, according to him. Well, I hope he's out there listening somewhere in the great beyond.
It's all those bugles, buddy. It's all those bugles.
Oh, the bugles.
Or the Nutter Butters.
Okay, and let me tell you what has become hard to find. And I've been going
quality
back
entertainment?
LA. Yeah, that too. I've been driving back to the forth to the Los Angeles.
Yes.
And I believe it's Angeles.
Angeles. All the gas stations, corn nut free.
Interesting. I wonder if it's because of all of the broken teeth.
Yeah, it could be.
It could be. So I was at a grocery store with my sister like a while ago, and I saw like a corn nut aisle, and I'm like, God damn it, we got to stop here. All three stops back and forth at gas stations. No corn nuts.
Sans corn nuts.
So let me tell you, I did some damage.
It's good work.
Like only a fat girl can to some ranch flavored corn nuts.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's funny shit.
I'm about to pee my pants. So.
Okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to do our little dance break and get ready, and we're going to come back with our drinking disclaimer. Al's going to give us a drinking word, and we're going to carry on, carry over, Cary Grant, but I'll never carry a gun.
Hey, girl, you okay?
You're listening to Hugh Talk America.
30 seconds of jelly jiggling fun. This is your 30-second dance break.
Is the Hugh Talk America Radio Network.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but... If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Yeah, I don't fucking know.
Wow.
What have we been saying a lot this hour?
God, take the easy way out, bitch. What the hell is that?
I feel like we were already saying something. I went pee. I had it all queued up, and now I can't remember.
Now you've lost it.
Uh-huh. Oh. We've been saying something this whole hour, like over and over again. Innuendo.
Okay.
We'll make it work.
I honestly don't know what we've been saying all hour.
I don't either. That's what I'm trying to think of.
Close enough. The bells of innuendo call for the word to be innuendo.
We'll figure it out.
All right. I like it.
It's very
Jenny needs
logic.
A second cocktail. She's already
saying. Well, go get it, Jenny. We can't make it for you. God damn it.
We'll wait for you.
No, we won't. Here we go. Headlines coming at you straight out of Compton. That sounded good. Where are my scripts? God damn it. Here they are. Oh, beware the hatchet man.
What color is your favorite?
Ford Car Company makes a crib.
Well, there's Rachel Dolezal. Did I pronounce that right?
Sure. Close enough. Okay.
Man makes drunk eBay purchase.
I want to be as cool as this lady.
Tweets for nuggets.
Who didn't know?
And a list of things that Mike Pence cannot be alone in a room with.
Oh.
That coming up right now on Headlines.
Nuggets butts. What is that about?
Oh, I just learned of that list, so we're going to get to that in just a few. Just a little bit. Well, a lovely man from Toledo, Ohio, has pleaded not guilty to chasing a family member with a hatchet. According to a local paper, Noel Dawson Jr. is charged with domestic violence, assault, and failure to disclose personal information to officials.
Is he really lovely then?
Yeah, really?
He could be.
I feel like our adjectives are a little loose tonight.
No, maybe the people innuendo. Are shitty.
Thank you.
Here is a picture of...
Jenny needs a drink.
I thought this was a Joan Crawford impersonation when I first saw it. Here is the man, 63-year-old Noel Dawson Jr., ladies and gentlemen. There he is.
But, bitter beer face.
We need to review the meanings of words.
Stand by.
He is lovely.
I do see Peter Gallagher in that photo, though.
Yeah, kind of, with the eyebrows.
I think he's some
eye cream. If he had yellow teeth, it'd be a deal.
I don't think he has
any
teeth.
If he had any teeth, it'd be a deal. Yeah.
Right there. Well, this 63-year-old looker.
That picture starts to move or open its mouth, I'm out of here.
He's accused of swinging a hatchet at a male family member, but swinging a miss, he went up hitting the man's truck instead. Court records show Dawson refused to give his information to police, but insisted. What are you doing?
I can't look at you.
Oh, why?
I can't see it.
He is very handsome.
He insisted on shouting obscenities at local police. Here is a live recording of his obscenities.
Shut fucking when I fucking find him!
Anyway, he
was at a loss for words as I was.
He is being held on $50,000 bond.
Damn. That's something.
Duh. Fuck.
For real.
What just happened
there? Yeah. Sure. Grandpa.
How did I get introduced to that man?
How did this happen?
Daddy.
How far down am I in the dating profile that was what I swept
to? I'm a nice white woman from Utah. That shouldn't happen to me.
Yeah.
I love Harrison. That makes me feel better about the bags under my eyes.
Those aren't bags. That's an entire luggage set under his eyes.
Jesus.
That's a steamer.
Sponsored by Samsonite.
Good.
Yeah.
God.
Sponsored.
We knew when a squirrel hears its nuts.
Under your eyes, asshole.
Marnie, top that.
Well, I don't want
no,
to.
No, don't top that.
I guess it's better than bottoming for it.
No, neither way. Not going to happen.
Turn him around.
Wow, I was not ready for that.
I'm thinking two condoms and hand sanitizer.
I'm thinking one of the condoms.
If I could help you pack for the picnic. Yeah.
I'm thinking two separate rooms.
Yeah, exactly.
How's your time? Good, stay there.
Yeah.
All right. Hazmat suit.
Marty Ryer, yes. Ladies and gentlemen.
Well,
oh,
who doesn't like a good Crayola?
Oh, sure.
I do.
Now, when you say the whole thing, do you say Crayola crayon like I do? Like, do you just
Crayola
make it go?
Crayon.
Just make it all French?
Wait, is this an article about the Hamiltones? Damn it. Carry on.
All right, then.
Yep.
So, here's the deal.
Did you
Crayola?
Say you said,
no, not for this. But I did send you
some. You sent pictures or links?
I sent a link, but there are pictures in it. It was easier to do that. So, right, Crayola asked fans to help name the new crayon. And Twitter responded very colorfully. There are a lot of suggestions for white and orange shades. I wonder why. Crayola was asking, you know, hey, what should we do? They announced that they will retire the classic yellow crayon, Dandelion.
Really?
From the 24-pack, it's sad. Then on Friday, the company revealed via Facebook that it plans to replace Dandelion with a new color. The color will be part of the blue family, though the exact shade is under wraps until May. The company also said that once the new color is revealed, it will invite fans to help name the hue sometime in the summer. Shortly after Crayola made the announcement, though, the hashtag new crayon colors began to trend on Twitter, although the proposals arrived a few months early, and most users didn't actually offer names for a blue crayon. The responses were pretty colorful.
Okay.
They are delightful. There's some good innuendo in here, I feel like.
Trumpkin, which obviously is
an orange.
The pumpkin.
Sure.
Orange. All 50 shades of gray. GOP white.
I love GOP white is my favorite.
I do like that one a lot.
With the picture that, are you looking at it?
No.
The Paul Ryan taking the picture of his staff, and it's all white people.
I've seen that picture.
No, there's one black guy way
in the back. Yeah, he was serving
them.
Yeah, he was serving them.
Jesus Christ.
There was Flint water brown, of course. Yeah,
fair.
That's a good one. Flint government failure orange, of course. Alternative fact white.
Yeah, I like that
my
one
favorite,
too.
My
because alternative fact
God.
White is orange.
Yes.
The best part about that is that it's orange.
It's orange.
I like that.
Also, this is my favorite, though. Bowling green. I do like that.
Should be like simple, a hunter green.
Yeah. Elegant.
I do like
never
that.
Forget.
Yep.
Never remember,
hashtag
never forget. Oh, no.
Crayon.
Never remember, always forget.
Always forget. Hashtag new crayon colors also could be red state. Melted glacier could be the new blue crayon color.
I like that one, melted glacier.
So there is crayon-y McCrayon face, infrared sunset, and Cheeto dust orange.
Okay.
There's those. The top three pink... Trumps would be Red Square, Midnight Tweet, and a write-in suggestion for Not Brown.
Not Brown. Not Brown.
There's White Privilege, of course.
Of course.
And Pussy Hat Pink. Golden Showers Yellow.
Oh.
There you go. And Purple Rain.
Oh. A little homage.
Impeach. Just like the and white supremacy, of course.
Yeah.
And the GOP yellow, which is actually green, but the GOP states there's not been any conclusive scientific studies proving that. I just can't face another day blue. No. So funny. There were
very funny.
Funny.
And there is nothing better than just the lack of self-awareness in Paul Ryan snapping that picture and not realizing, like, oh, shit.
That's a lot of white people. But, yeah, that picture. But how funny. GOP white.
But Crayola Crayon had their own problems. Mm-hmm. Remember, that was flat. Didn't they?
That's right. They
had
flesh,
or they had that. Right. They had their own brouhaha of.
That was a while ago.
Non-political correctness and.
But I mean, everybody's gonna find something.
Well, then didn't they also make some changes? Like they became fruit or vegetable names. Like a green, it was a broccoli. Like they had different. They went through a phase where they were different.
Yeah, because the yellow wasn't called dandelion when we were.
To me, it was yellow when I was a kid. When I was so dandelion.
But that was, remember, you had the 8, the 32, or the 64. Right. So when you got to 64, they just started making shit up.
When they got to 126, or whatever,
then we were just in crazy town.
But did you have to have the sharpener?
But I do believe that dandelion didn't make an appearance until you got to like the 64 number.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'll have to go look. I've got two sets of crayons here in the house.
I seem to remember margarine being one of the colors at one point, or I was eating a crayon and was hoping it was margarine.
Could go,
or you were trying to color with a stick of margarine. Yeah. I'm not.
That's probably the best guess.
It could have happened that way.
And I would have been young, because in one hand, as I've told people repeatedly.
Cheeto in one hand.
And margarine in the other.
Double fisted.
I'm a little concerned with what I just said.
It's not okay. Hashtag it's not okay. The happiest day in my family's life is when they've released that report about margarine being bad for you, and that just eat butter, and my mother just like throwing the tub of margarine in the garbage. Like, fuck that.
Fuck that.
Thank God.
Yeah. Happy day for you, too.
Oh, yeah, because I never went back.
No, of course not. My mom's the same way. I'm the same way. When I buy butter, I buy it. In fact, I realized I'm out because I had to wash my little butter dish because I like the soft butter for toast.
But if you're old enough, sweet baby Jesus, that shit was horrible.
The margarine?
Margarine.
God, I loved margarine.
Uh-uh.
Well, the worst part...
Only because it was soft.
Well, like my dad... Right. Yeah. And it did have a spreadability that you look for in a lady.
Well,
but...
Wow.
Innuendo.
I'm just offering up.
Nobody messes with Mother Nature. No, but the that was one of the commercials. That was the don't you remember the commercial?
Yes, I do. But that was a great face.
But no, what was really worse about margarine at our house back when with my grandmother was because every fucking tub of that became a storage unit
for
food.
That's right.
So you'd go through 37 different things.
Like country crock Tupperware.
Which one's the margarine, Grandma? I don't know.
Open
and you'd go through.
No one knows.
We don't know.
Just trying to make toast. You got 12-month-old gravy. Yeah.
Right.
Got a science experiment.
I thought my mother bought margarine just to save money on Tupperware.
Exactly. Now, in fairness, gravy on toast is not bad. I'm just going to let you know that.
Shit on a shingle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love shit.
But there's something
shingle.
There's something else in that
well,
shit on the shingle.
It's chip beef. Turned chip beef.
Uh-huh. There you go. Mm-hmm. I feel like something else was processed with the popcorn through the bowels before it went on the shingle. I'm just trying to keep the innuendos alive, people.
I think we're misunderstanding innuendo at this point.
Me too.
It could be. Now brought to you by a whole bunch of different medications.
Is English our second language?
Science project is what we are now, apparently. Mm-hmm.
300 show, all in ESL.
Well, let me change this topic real quick.
Next caller.
Babies love car rides. They're soothed by the vibration from the road and a gentle hum of an engine. But
I like a hummer and a vibrator. I'm not going to argue with either one of those.
Again, not innuendo.
just straight up endo.
That's not how this works.
Wow. That's not how any of this works.
You know what? This show is better with booze. Unfortunately...
I've been telling you that for years.
I know. I took some time off. Some tots, it's the only way that you can make them go to sleep. Unfortunately, babies are terrible drivers and they rarely chip in for gas. But stopping everything to take them for a spin every time they get fuzzy is rather inconvenient. So Ford Motor Company, yes, that's right, Ford Motor Car Company might have the solution for us. It's made a prototype of a new kind of crib that simulates all the best parts of a car ride without the exhaust. The Max Motor Dreams crib looks like a designer bassinet from the outside, except with a large Ford logo on the side. Let me show you a picture of this. Here is the crib.
Have you driven a Ford lately?
There's the crib. A speaker under the baby plays engine sounds. The base of the crib slowly rocks from side to side, simulating the sensation of a moving car. The rim of the crib is lined with LED lights.
Don't rim it.
That turn. The lights turn off and on like passing street lights. Experts say white noise is repetitive, and the repetitive movements reminds the babies of being in the womb. The Max design looks very similar to another smart crib released earlier this year, created by renowned industrial designer Yves Behar and pediatrician Dr. Harvey Karp. Also, MIT engineers were involved in it. It costs $1,100. It also automates the rocking and white noise babies love like this one. However, this crib, the Max Motor Dreams crib, is not available to the public at this point. The crib was designed for Ford as part of an ad campaign to promote its Max line of cars. However, the car company is holding a raffle for this, and Ford says it's considering mass producing the crib due to popular demand and interest. But I mean, that makes complete sense. It rocks, it makes car noises. I mean, anything that wants those little fuckers to go to sleep, what the hell? I mean, Jack Daniels is only going to work so many times.
With a Benadryl kicker first.
And then you wind up looking like this guy before it's all over.
That's when you've not driven a Ford lately.
Damn it!
I just want to say how smart I find that crib. I thought that would be a wonderful addition to any room, baby or not, and make it bigger, I'll get in that motherfucker.
Exactly!
You get the same job done. You get the same job done with your swing and a good show tunes album.
Yeah.
Listening to this show.
Right.
It was a lovely piece of furniture. It is. I have to compliment them on their
You look at
that
beautiful thing right there with the Ford logo. I mean, but it makes complete sense. I mean, something that simulates the motion of a car, why wouldn't that work?
And I've heard this story.
Because babies are assholes. Yeah. It's just not going to work.
Babies are assholes.
I have heard this from multiple people that sometimes.
Many people are saying.
Many good people. The best people.
The best people.
That they do have to take the kids out in the car and like drive around the block a few times when they've run out of other options. And I'm like, is your goal to find a cliff and drive off it? I'd like, having never had a child, I can only wonder what happens. But you hear that.
Oh, yeah, because it happens. You put that kid in the car seat, they're all like snug and warm, close the door, drive down the block.
So, I mean, I think it's a smart idea to recreate that.
It works on me, too.
There is a current commercial on. I don't know what car line it's for, but it's one of those things where the daddy gets up in the middle of the night to take the kid out in the car to drive around so they can sleep. And the next morning, the mom walks in the kitchen. You know, she's waking up, and she walks in, and the little baby and the dad are both asleep at the counter in the kitchen from their overnight adventure. It's one of those things that makes everything.
That sounds like an innuendo. I think I used it right that time.
Could be. Who knows?
Your overnight adventure. Yeah, have you seen that dirty, filthy fucking Volkswagen commercial?
Oh, yeah.
I don't watch commercials.
Where they...
They're doing it in the car?
They do it in the car, and every time they get out of the car, there's another kid.
They need a bigger car.
Oh. Like, the cars, the Volkswagen's always rocking. Google it when you get home.
They start in the Beetle. Then they have to go to the four-door car. Then they have to go to an SUV.
Then they need a Passat.
Then they finally have to go to the biggest fucking thing Volkswagen
made. The big minivan that they make, is fucking nice. Let me tell you about that minivan.
Is there stow-and-go seating?
Not only is there stow-and-go seating, but there's also picnic theater seating where you can take the back row, flip it around so that you're sitting out the back, and you are comfortably reclining in a recliner, but outdoors. It's... amazing. I tried to make Sharon buy it for me, and she won't. She hates me.
I may buy that for you just so I can drive around in the back.
Wow, seriously.
Oh, you wouldn't want to sit.
I feel like wonderful things can happen in the behind portion of that.
I believe it.
Oh, I'm a little nervous.
In the behind.
That was innuendo, definitely. Steve Carell and...
The Way, Way Back.
Oh. Which I had appreciated.
And I have to say, not only was that movie just a total fucking delight...
No.
I knew, and I think we talked about this on the show, but there's been 300 of these motherfuckers. So
238.
Damn it.
That many. 5 years. Whatever
that
equates to.
And one you can't find.
I was told there would be no man. So I knew that the expression seemed familiar, but I was at a loss.
Yes.
And then when the kid says about he wanted to go in the station wagon and sit in the way, way back, I almost teared up like a beloved pet had died in the way, way back. I just hadn't heard that since I was a little kid, and it had been so long that I couldn't make the expression work until when you would fight to sit in that station wagon seat and face backwards. Yeah. And you face backwards. you know, seeing what was coming to ram me in the ass.
Oh, that's where it started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again,
could have saved like $20 on therapy.
Yeah, value that. $20 is $20.
Not an innuendo. That was just straight up dirty.
Yeah.
I think we're confusing double entendre with
maybe.
It could be.
Yeah,
it's
innuendo.
Okay. It's all right.
That's not good at all. So
now, if I said Marty was a dirty fucking whore, yeah, whose turn is it?
Oh,
Marnes.
What part of the show are we in?
Well, lovely Rachel Dolezal.
Sure.
Yep.
If you do not recall, Rachel Dolezal was the person who ran the NAACP, president, branch
identified
president.
As a chapter.
And no, do not misquote. Hmm. She does not identify as African American.
Not anymore.
She identifies as black.
That's fair. Okay, that's fair.
God damn it. Let me finish my story.
She's from Toledo, not African. I understand.
But she was Lebanese, for Christ's sake.
Washington. God damn.
Lesbian, Blanche. I got
tough fucking room.
I'm the actual Lebanese, not lesbian.
I gotta cool off. I got a little upset about that.
Jamie Farr.
Anyway, she's a little controversial. There was, you know.
And unattractive as hell to me.
A little bit. Anyway, apparently in her new People magazine article.
And book.
She claims it's coming out.
I thought that bitch was homeless.
Yes. No, well, not anymore because she wrote a book. She was on Smirkanish, right?
Yeah.
Michael Smirkanish. On CNN, and there was a comparison drawn between Rachel Dolezal and Caitlyn Jenner.
Okay. And what was that parallel?
I'm gonna have a different response.
It was when Caitlyn Jenner was super tan. No, it was because of the wonderful things she does. Yeah. After she was outed,
that wizard is everywhere.
I know,
two times.
Anyway, after it was revealed that Dolezal was posing as a black woman despite being born white. And then
identified. She wasn't posing.
Hey,
she was identifying
I'm reading.
Yeah.
After she was outed, Dolezal revealed that she identifies as being black, even though she knows she was born white. Dolezal made the appearance on CNN while promoting her new memoir, In Full Color. Catchy. Finding
title.
My Place in a Black and White World. When the CNN anchor commented that he saw a lot of similarity between Dolezal and Jenner. And she admitted that a lot of people do draw that comparison. With that parallel.
Because they're both entitled white assholes? What? I'm not sure.
No, because
and I wanna be...
you have to identify in some way because we're ignoring some of her backstory.
Correct.
That she is adopted. Am I mistaken?
I believe that is correct. Yes.
She was raised by black parents.
Yeah.
She married a black man. Her children.
Black man.
I know. It's so hard to not do the what's her face from Designing Women. Where did you come from?
Coffee almost went.
So it really is that thing of if you tell someone you identify now as a woman, why is that less controversial than telling someone I identify as black?
Right.
And I'm coming at this from a different way because I'm adopted. So
who do
I get to say I identify with? Do I go with my neighbors who are predominantly Italian or Polish? Right. Do I go with my family who's Scottish, Welsh, like none of them are truly me.
Right.
Because we don't know what my
ethnic background
is.
Heritage.
Yep.
Right. So where do you, and we're so, and I think we've had this conversation too. It's like a greatest hit show. Because there's so much mixing of different nationalities. Sure. Like if Kat's children decide to say they're white, are they going to get some kind of a backlash because they're half Indian or... If they say they're Indian, do they get some kind of backlash? Like,
right.
Now that everyone is kind of intermixing of the races, like who says you can't say? And if she was raised in a black community, transracial is going to be a new word. And
I really think it would be.
And this was an interesting podcast. I can't take credit for this thought because it was a podcast that I was listening to that I cannot remember or find that said she's 20 years early to a conversation we're all going to have.
Sure.
We're going to wake up in that world. Where no one...
I love it.
Oh, my God. She throws nothing away. We're
so
like, but we really are just a few years away from everyone having to pick, like, do you go to the Polish festival? Mm-hmm. Do you go to the Italian festival?
Sure.
Do you go to
The festival?
Right. So, the King's Festival? Wow, even she went into the woods. So, we really are kind of left with that place about why are we so judgy of this woman who was raised in this culture? And yes, she did use a little accelerated tanner and she curled her hair, but... Mm-hmm. Is that really the, like, in a world where we're supposed to be, like, accepting people's, like, identities? Yeah.
Wasn't this something that, in a lot of ways, kind of started with Mariah Carey? Like, that conversation.
Tiger Woods, another
Tiger
one.
Woods, Tiger Woods. Right. You know. And it was all, like, that early 90s, I feel like.
Yeah, because there was that joke about when Jesse Jackson used to talk about the Rainbow Coalition, the one comedian would be, oh, Mariah Carey. She's every race. Because she is so many... things, I guess.
Multi-ethnic.
Yeah. Sure. Allegedly, she really is. I know nothing about her background. I just know that joke about Mariah Carey from that comedian talking about the Rainbow Coalition. Right. They would say that about Tiger Woods, too. Isn't he partly Asian and partly African-American?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
And all good at golf? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so, I mean...
We have to get to this place where we just believe people and go, okay, sure.
Yeah, if that's what you... Absolutely. The reason in with this, I thought it was interesting because it goes far more to what Kat said about just white entitled people.
Right, but if you're not raised in a white world, then...
But the Caitlyn Jenner part. I was like, pissed.
And I do. I did that too. And my first reaction was like, tear this woman apart. And then I like read about her life and I'm like, well, you know, I come from, as an adopted person, like I can pretend I'm any nationality I want to because there isn't one. Like, I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, clearly it's a pale one. But, you know, that's where we land it.
I'm trying to find your color right now.
Yeah, exactly.
He's Scandinavian. I'm only 5'8",
so Scandinavian's pretty much off the table.
Yeah, that's really true, actually.
Yeah, either that it was a whiter midget, you know, a whiter shade of pale.
Lavender.
It was a Scandinavian little person.
But it really is. Like, what if someone who was adopted by a Jewish family, like, you get into religion, so can you not say that you're... Jewish because you're, you know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't understand.
I say I'm a faux Jew.
I do kind of understand the confusion.
Faux Jew.
Because maybe she did. Faux Jew. Faux Jew.
Faux Jew.
Faux Jew. Faux Jew, Sylvia.
I'm a faux Jew.
Exactly.
That's right. I'm a faux Jew.
So I do wonder about that. Like, I think the harshness towards her just went to an extreme of like, okay, if we can just make up for any sex we want to.
Well, and that's,
or whatever you self-identify, then what keeps you from the other?
But I think it was kind of like one,
like, who's
more
that
thing?
Pat Robertson cunty guy that's all mad because he says that, like, Barack Obama identifies as black, not as white, so he's denying his parentage, and he's that was it Pat Robertson or
I know who
that was bashing Halle Berry for not thanking her white ancestors at the Oscars that she only acknowledged. Her black half. Sure. So, like,
white people are terrible. I want to stop being a white person.
That identifies.
I don't want to identify with white people anymore. White people are horrible people.
But you're right
Aaron says I'm clearly Asian. But what if I had been adopted by Asian parents and was raised in an Asian culture? Sure. Would I be not able to say that I identify as Asian if I was raised?
No, but it'd be hysterical because of the whole idea of drop dead gorgeous.
Right. Fabulous. I didn't understand the assignment.
Oh my God.
They only had me so my brother could have a kidney.
I would love. Oh, I love that.
It really is a thing of, like, how do you pick how you identify?
But I think that at the time that Dolezal and everything happened with Rachel Dolezal, it was kind of like, we're trying to figure out where people are going to the bathroom for some odd reason. We're trying to that became a thing. And
it's going to be in your yard in a minute.
Absolutely.
But saves water.
But you have...
I've done it.
You have somebody who's, you know, now we're trying... It's gender, and it's this... And now you have someone who's like, well, I'm black. Well, good for you.
Right.
Well, fuck. I don't know what to
say. But it's the fact that we go right to just public shaming of her.
Oh, that's, I do think that it was one of those. Where
that's the social media mob.
That was the mob mentality that I was like, okay, this is not the one. And like I said, and I heard that podcast with that thoughtful discussion of like, we're 20 years away from this because... No one is sticking within racial guidelines anymore for marriage, for having children, for adopting children. You know, we want refugees from other countries that are going to need parents. We're bringing people from all over. Like, How do you explain to Madonna's three children? Sure. Are they British? Are they American? Are they African?
Look
are
at
they
the
Italian?
Clan.
Are they
They're rich?
Yeah, the Pitt Jolie.
That's
clan.
Where I was
They're
going.
Rich.
Yeah. Yeah,
they are. But again, right. That doesn't help them at a festival if they show up. Like, sure. If Madonna's son David, I believe that's his
David. Yep,
David
the youngest
is the
one.
Is he the one from the Hot Trainer?
No,
no,
no, no. That's
well,
that's Lord.
Be,
Lord
oh, fuck her.
Yeah, right. That's Lord. But so like
dad.
Her, does she? But does he say? Can he go to the Italian festival and tell them he was raised Italian?
Sure.
When he's
clearly yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I mean? So then
only if Fergie's there.
Yeah.
Be Italian.
Okay. Singing.
The only time I've ever enjoyed Fergie.
Well, yeah.
What it's a good song.
I love it when it's impersonation day.
Well, and Aaron says our podcast director, his podcast director is from Alabama, but has lived in Japan most of his life, and now feels that he now feels Aaron feels yeah. like he's pretty much Asian. Anant sometimes more as American rather than Indian. I
stay
mean,
stay Indian.
Just stay Indian, young man.
I find everything about her, and I intend to read the book. I'm not going to put it on the reading list. But I really do, and maybe I'm giving her more sympathy or empathy than she deserves, but at the same time, it was one of those times of, like, public shaming that I was like, wow, this is off the mark. Mm-hmm. And especially from the community, that the LGBT community, mm-hmm. we're like, we're all about however you self-identify, sure. like, we're supposed to be embracing that.
But we're going
to
put her on a cross.
Right. Oh, yeah, right. I mean, and we're all lining up to drive the nails in and, sure. and pee on yeah. it.
Well, we wouldn't.
Well,
do that.
Whatever well, the Jesus, whatever the appropriate
Jesus
crayon is,
because when they're crucifying somebody else, yeah. they're leaving us alone.
Right? Exactly. If they're hey, if they're picking on her, we
guys,
get to get married.
Guys,
yeah.
Guys.
That's the whole bait and switch distraction thing for the entire administration guys. Currently.
Jesus right. wasn't black, and Jewish. Santa just is white.
Just yeah. is white.
He is white.
Yeah.
So, oh, by the way, I'm still looking for her white ass to show up on NBC somewhere.
Oh, my God. Oh, and I'm about to hijack this show right out from under.
Stand by. You get, you'll get your turn.
No, I'm just warning y'all in advance. Yep. Oh, we're going down a dark tunnel, Kat and I.
I'm not
Where are we going?
Innuendo.
Got it.
Wait. Like real innuendo or that shit you've been doing all show?
Have you you're done with that one?
No, the dark tunnel was an innuendo.
Properly
used.
I want to forewarn you, there might be a dialect used in this story.
Oh, boy.
Yes!
I don't
it's
know.
Accent Day.
Oh. I'm not sure if it is or not, but we're going to see.
I feel like I should get a card on Accent Day. I'm so happy.
A British man is taken to the drunken online purchase to the next level by claiming to have bought a random plot of land in North Little Rock, Arkansas, all the way from across the pond. Reddit user Mark Hall, otherwise known as Coffee Is For Closers, posted on the Little Rock subreddit page asking if anyone in the group knew where the plot of land was. As it turns out, Hall claimed he bought a small piece of land in the comments, and the user said that the purchase was a little more than a beer into it. So here's a map. This the red dot shows you the plot of land in which the gentleman has purchased. The Leeds native used a website called BidSpotter, which helps to find items such as real estate to bid on online auctions, similar to eBay. Users are quick to spot the location, which is in the 900 block of I Street in North Little Rock, just a bit north of the Tyson Foods chicken plant. Oh. The plot of land sits next to Walnut Grove
Thanks.
Baptist Church, which you can see right there in the picture, just a little bit above. In fact,
Handy,
I will.
Handy, close to God.
Accents in a map. I don't know what to do.
I will zoom in there a little bit for you.
I'm predicting there are three possible distinct accents here.
We got Walnut Grove.
One British.
Little half
two
pint.
Southern, yeah. three drunk. Yeah. I can't wait to see which one shows up.
Four.
I hope it's a drunk Northern Alabaman. Yeah.
Oh wow!
Who's maybe watched?
No, okay, it's Arkansas.
Who's maybe watched Downton Abbey a couple times?
Oh,
I don't know what we're gonna get.
I love it. I feel like we're building this up a lot.
For those of you following along, users were quick to spot the location, which is in the 900 block of I Street in North Little Rock, just a bit north of the Tyson Food Plant. The plot of land, which sits next to the Walnut Grove Baptist Church, as featured in our picture, 924. One
is
user.
That the Dixie Church of
and the
Christ
Dixie
right
Church
there?
Of Christ, yeah.
Or is that a different church?
No, different. Well,
two churches.
He's adjacent to the Walnut Grove Church, the Baptist Church.
Oh, but
right
he's
there.
Across the street from the Dixie Church.
Yeah, just Kitty Corner, Catty Corner, depending on what I say.
But fuck them.
Two churches.
He's separated by that little two houses right there.
Fuck them.
I'm pointing to this like anybody else can see me point. I need the Al Roker. I need the big wall so I can write on shit. That's what I need.
Isn't that why we got this?
Yeah, that worked out.
Here's what weather's like in your neck of the woods. So does that help
here,
you?
Here it is.
Oh my God, Al Roker.
But you know what? That's an official out cue to local affiliates. If you under, it's a long
of
story.
Of course I know that. I'm not dumb. Well, I'm not an asshole.
I've seen.
Yes, you are.
I see how this works.
Maybe unrelated topics.
One user whose screen name is Electron Spiderwort, don't know fucking why, he managed to dig up that the land was previously owned by the church, the Walnut Grove Baptist Church, way back in 2010. Oh. Now, the estimated taxes per year on it, according to the ArkansasCountyData.com site, would be about $40 a year. Jesus Christ, there was property taxes for like that out here. Hall said that he had no idea where the land was or even if it was a good or bad purchase. As for plans after purchasing, the user has a few ideas. Quote, I thought it'd be good and funny to have a to buy put beside him on a friend's face and wait for the Google car to drive past. Maybe take a picture with it.
I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night.
I didn't know we were going My Fair Lady Cockney. I would have worn a tiara. I would have Audrey Hepburn this bitch up.
Say the Raven Spain thing. And still
I don't know how. So.
Hartford, Harrisford, and Hampshire. Hurricanes hardly happen. I could have spread my wings.
So.
A thousand things.
So.
I've never done before.
The rain in Spain.
In the comments on the website, he also
Where's
said,
that blasted rain?
I realize it's funnier for him to watch us and not look at this land. In the comments on the page, he'd actually like to put the land to good use, asking for any other ideas. The idea was floated around to set up a tent and put up an Airbnb on the land. One other user even mentioned it to be a community garden. It'll be interesting to see what comes from the drunken purchase, whether it be a sign with
Must
a face
come
on
from
it.
From the drunken purchase.
Or an extra.
Well played.
Yeah.
Well played. Wait. Two things.
This is a song that goes like this.
Does the article say how much he paid for the plot of land?
It does not. It does not.
$10 an acre.
How many pence was it, sir?
Not a British farthing.
How many shilling for a plot of land in Arkansas?
Apparently now we've got to.
I've got to get me land.
Next week is Pirate Week. Don't spoil it for the listeners.
Arrgh, I'll be here next week then.
We are 7 days away from Pirate Week.
How much for your church adjacent property? Your double church adjacent property.
Remember this train used to be on the tracks?
Wait, there were tracks?
Yeah.
We were on a train.
They were on the plane.
Where's the train?
Oh,
the rain
I always miss the train.
Oh, I was mainly on the plane.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's fantastic. Wow, that's a delight.
Did your story have an ending?
That's it.
Oh, good.
No, there's no ending. Oh. He still owns a plot of land next to a church in Arkansas.
That's lovely. Like I want to do that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I want to just buy stuff that I don't need and pay $40 a year to pay the taxes.
For
that sounds
real.
Lovely.
I don't want property in Arkansas.
I would Airbnb
there's some
that
be,
shit.
There's some very beautiful property.
Yeah, there can be, but I've heard some, you know, different horror stories about it. So I think, no. Aaron just spit chicken out of his nose, and that's concerning to
me. From right next to the church, if you throw a banjo in the air, anybody that catches it can play it.
With a banjo is very challenging. I've tried before. You got to have the little finger picks.
Just with their two.
Very agile.
That's the finger pick.
I'm glad I at least forewarned you of the upcoming potential for a dialect.
Well, we're still trying to figure out what that dialect was. Is the problem.
I love Accent Day.
I know.
I do.
I'm really terrible at them, but
I'm awful at them.
I was trying to go for, what is it, Mrs. Potts or Chip from Beauty and the Beast. Trying to be timely. You know, with the movie.
Tale is old.
Song as old as Ryan.
But I knew Dion Brown would hate it if I sounded like Angela Lansbury.
Yeah. He has a real thing about her.
I would have loved that. That would have been been lovely.
I am seriously willing to duel him over that, because like, she's a national fucking treasure.
Well, yeah, but that's
she
all.
Is.
move on, little lady.
Okay, so we're doing this.
All right, real good.
What's next?
So, well, my story is not quite.
Oh my god, we're still on headlines.
It's still not as fun. But okay. Clayton, do you have the pictures of that person, or no? That
there
I
were
had
the
said?
Two pictures of the of, yeah. of the crowd.
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay, so I just want to be as badass as this this gal is, and she has that similar accent that Clayton was trying to get. Not really. May we all be as cool as this woman in the face of white supremacy. This chick, she's cool. Sophia Khan. Had no time for the English Defense League protesters. This gal, when a group of rowdy white supremacists infiltrated Sophia Khan's home city in Birmingham, England, she chose to kill them with kindness. And this thing is brilliant. And it made for some incredible photos that are up here. A group of marchers with the far-right English Defense League were demonstrating in Birmingham's city center in response to the attack on Westminster Bridge last month. The Islamophobic group is known for its often rowdy and violent protests. She says, I ended up going to the EDL demo because there's a history of harassment and assault of Muslims, vulnerable members of the public and people of color at the demos and outside of it. She was calmly hanging around the demonstration when she saw one woman in a hijab completely surrounded by dozens of angry white men, and she chose to step in. That's when this Joe Giddens, who took these photos, captured the incredible moment between Khan and this EDL douchebag Ian Crossland. Seriously, what a little fucking white prick. Ugh. Khan said she didn't feel threatened in the slightest way, and it's fairly obvious. Through her interaction with Crossland, she remained smiling with her hands in her pockets, clearly unfazed. The photo quickly went viral. And thousands on Twitter celebrated her badassery. And that was the line that just caught me. I love it. Her badassery.
Badassery.
And just a brave, strong, like your shirt.
She was going to stand up. She was like, no, not okay. And I'm just going to walk in here. We're not going to have this. And a Birmingham MP, Jess Phillips, hailed Khan as the real Brummy, if I'm saying that correctly.
Brummy?
A nickname, Brummy. Hello. A nickname.
You're on a piece of land.
Do you want to start a band?
It's Arkansas.
Got my hair done.
You play drum? Do you play drums? I need a drummer. I need a drummer.
Suddenly we're on Wallace and Gromit.
Oh, Wensleydale, I love cheese. Wensleydale is so good. I love Wallace and Gromit. I love it.
I don't know what it is, but I feel like it's a horror movie.
Wallace, get up, Gromit. It's Wednesday. It's cheese day, Gromit. I love cheese day.
Oh, my God.
Wallace and Gromit is fantastic.
They're pretty funny. Not as funny as this, though.
Oh, my God.
I could get high and listen to that shit.
I'm going to have to show you Wallace and Gromit.
Oh. I feel like the bells of innuendo will
bring. It's like a British claymation. It's pretty funny.
Oh, that's fucking funny.
I love Wensleydale.
Anyway.
It's so fun. Well,
this is so. Just stop this.
No, fine, sure.
No, never stop. Never stop.
Never stop. That's true.
Clayton McKee, don't stop believing.
Don't stop. Journey will get mad.
I think that one of the things that I loved most about this was some of the Twitter reaction. I'm not this whole. Tweeting thing, I think, is just getting to be a little too much. But what I do love was the reaction, and it's of this, of one person in particular, that says, I fucking love this photo. Look at how helpless, clueless, and raging the EDL prick is. Mm-hmm. Look at how in control, calm, and cool as fuck she is. And it's so true. And that kill them with kindness and get in there and just be like, what? It drives them nuts. It drives them absolutely insane. So I was thrilled about her and her. There's an interview that's in this, and I'll put it into the chat room in case anybody wants to see it. But her, first of all, her accent is a delight, unlike ours.
wow, France.
Just saying. These accents have also been a delight.
They've been something.
In my opinion.
They've been something.
In my educated opinion.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm a trained actor.
Yeah, you're something.
Roll over, play dead.
Oh.
Show me your training.
No, keep to
the albino essence. Is funny now. Look at him. Look.
You know, and Anant just said that just being nice is considered badass and incredible. And in those situations, Aaron from LA is right. At a protest, it is. Because when you can walk into a situation like that and not have a temper flare.
Right. Or Facebook or anywhere, really, that you don't act like a total.
That's right.
If you can deal with a customer service person and not have a total human meltdown.
You're not having a meltdown. You're not condescending, albeit you want to be. That you're not. I mean, there's none of it. You're just like,
yeah,
okay.
And I spent a good 3.5-4 hours today with the customer service humans of the world and their many accents. And I have to say that it finally got across, while being as polite as humanly possible with all the pleases and thank yous. Yep. And let me just say this one more time. I was finally given the opportunity to be like, here's the alternative we can offer. It's all I needed.
Yeah.
If you could have opened with that like an hour ago, we wouldn't still be on the phone. Like, here's the alternative to something that got lost in translation. Mm-hmm. How about you just try this hotel? It has a better rate. It's a couple of miles away. Enjoy your life.
Sure.
Like, something happened with when you booked it to when you changed your reservation.
Be our guest.
Right, and it really... But I wanted to, like, play that song until you cry enough, or what's that fabulous line
in
that
song?
Don't
cry for me, Argentina.
No. Oh, in the middle of Be Our Guest is, we'll keep going until you say you...
Till you shout, I'm done.
Till you shout, I'm done. And it really was. It was finally, like, the lady was like...
Enough, I'm done. That's what it is.
Until you say, enough, I'm done. So it really was... That thing of just stay polite, stay on point, stay with the people. It's not their fault.
Focus on your message.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Messaging.
Right.
Keeping that message through a long, tedious conversation until she was like, here's the alternative where you get a hotel room at about the price that you think you should pay in the right part of the city. Are we happy? Could you be happy with that? Of course, perfectly acceptable.
Right.
If that other hotel is too expensive on that one night, then let's...
And I think that how we react to a situation, because I'm not sitting here trying to say that's how I would be, because I'm with Jenny. I'd be plotting to kill the assholes, and you know the not brave, not calm in a protest like that. You have some white supremacist standing in front of you, spewing all of that hate and that adrenaline,
or
that
the Jesus freaks in Vegas on the street.
Yes,
like,
yes.
But there's a point in your life where
you're protecting someone else, or you're stepping in, and that's what you know you're there for.
Yeah.
That was your intent going in. Okay. Okay, but
if there's harassment of someone going on, yes, you do have to step up. Mm-hmm. But if it's like she was saying, like if it's just someone expressing the opinion, and I have a big fucking hard time with this, and it takes everything in my being to try, fail often, but try to just have your say, spew your hate, but I just have to go this way.
Sure.
And unless you're openly harassing, unless you're openly going after someone, because now it's in these places like Vegas at parades, at pride festivals and all that stuff, there's that stuff in your gut urge is to like, God, won't it just feel great to just jump in the mud with these people and just duke it out and show how smart and clever I am and how many funny, fancy words or accents I can use. Or you could just
ignore them.
Yep.
And it really does, and it's a sign of my elderly state that it's like, I fail. I'm not saying I'm like, I'm probably getting about like a 25% so far, but it really is my new go-to move to just be like, disengage, unfollow, unfriend.
Yeah, you were talking about that a couple of weeks ago with like on Facebook and different things.
Yeah, like it's just not, and I'll type out my smart ass response to something and then just hit delete because.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
What did we, where did we go? Where did we end up?
Right.
Who's listening to this rant?
Right.
So,
yep.
But I mean, and again, like everybody's saying, like not brave, not coming to protest. I'm just trying. I'm failing most of the time, but it's my new, like, and
good
I succeeded in Vegas.
Good work.
Mostly because I was coughing too hard to have a rebuttal, but it was like one of those things where like, there's no point in yelling back at someone because you don't know who they're against.
Well, if
are they against
is
the strippers,
because
the gays,
hate.
The gamblers,
like, Sure.
Because their message is so unclear now of who the sinner is.
Right.
Because...
Well, in Vegas, there's a lot of options. That's what I mean. Like, hang on a second. If you're going to go...
Spin the wheel. Pick an opening.
If you're going to go be a Jesus freak and hate on people in Vegas, there's a lot to choose from there.
Exactly. But you kind of feel like... If they're really...
If there ever was to be a real-life Sodom and Gomorrah, I feel like Vegas would be one of those.
Sure. Oh, and I think headlining with rhinestones, yes, Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. Here, three nights, dark Thursday, enjoy the veal.
Here's a white tiger, enjoy that.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's a lot going on there. What you do with the white tiger? That's very unholy.
Not just our show.
Oh, I would like that. Rawr.
But, I mean, it really...
Put him up.
Playing the part of the tiger, Marty Ryer.
All right, worst joke ever, but I feel like for our 5-year anniversary, we have to do it.
You used it before. Use it again.
It's my favorite. It's my favorite. What's my second favorite joke ever?
All right, so it's a joke.
How do this is terrible. It is. How do you turn a fruit into a vegetable? Have a tiger drag him off stage by the throat.
He loves that. He fucking loves that.
Never not funny. Okay, and now to redeem myself, the funniest joke I've ever heard.
Oh, boy.
What goes clippity-clop, clippity-clop, bang-bang, clippity-clop? An Amish drive-by shooting. It's never not funny. It's never not funny.
I would say write the Amish off, but they're not listening clearly.
I haven't found the internet yet. So,
but if you're ever somewhere where you have to tell a joke that's clean and acceptable to everyone.
Except the Amish.
No, they'll find it funny, too. They have guns.
Maybe.
And horses, so they
can. And they want to be gangster, according to Al Yankovic.
Rumspringa. Listen, those kids are not fucking around.
That's a good point.
I never want to see Al Perkins do this again.
No, I did nothing with my fingers. Well, you made it much more grand. I just knew that something should happen with my fingers while I made this gesture and hope that in post
all
we would
of a sudden
fill it
he's
in.
The notorious ATP over here. He's... Good God.
I would just hope that in post you would fill in whatever my fingers should do in a signal that I could be tough in a situation where an Amish person was chasing me with a gun, a brooch, or a pterodactyl.
Here's the steeple, right.
Oh, can we move?
Oh, yeah.
If we don't move
look
on.
At her accent 5 years later.
If we don't move on, whenever
you always go down to the lowest level. You know what I mean?
Next caller.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Mickey.
A Nevada teen is approaching peak Twitter fame after accepting a challenge from Wendy's official fast food Twitter account to get 18 million retweets in exchange for a year's supply of chicken nuggets. Yep, it's actually a thing. 2017, hashtag Nugs for Carter. It's N-U-G-G-S 4-F-O-R Carter.
I'm searching it right now.
Here we go. Carter Wilkerson tweeted, "Yo, Wendy's. How many retweets for a year of free chicken nuggets?" And they responded to him saying 18 million, which was a complete surprise to the young man. "So it's pretty exciting," Carter Wilkerson says. He's 16 years old. He said in an interview Friday during his lunch break at Bishop Minogue Catholic High School in...
Minogue. Kylie Minogue.
I don't know.
I'm just guessing.
Whatever. It's whatever. He says,
just
quote,
making shit up.
He says, quote, "I'm one of those people who isn't usually looking for attention, but since this started, it's been pretty cool. In school, it's fun because everyone knows about it." Carter called from a quiet corner of the school, and in the background, one of his friends while walking by yelled out, "The man, the myth, the legend," as he walked by.
That's
the social media.
On Clayton Road.
The social media movement started Wednesday when Carter tweeted to Wendy's as
a
joke.
I just retweeted him.
Carter said he didn't really expect a reply, but when Wendy's replied 18 million, what did he do?
Game on.
And he responded back to them saying, "Consider it done."
Okay, now help talk me through the twitter.
The Twitter?
I want to do it myself.
All right,
don't you finger me.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
So
that became awkward.
Search
real
this.
Fast.
Search.
Two fingers.
Search for Carter
just the one.
JWM, and it will come up with a profile for Carter Wilkerson. And then the very first tweet on his profile is the one to retweet because he's pinned it to the top. And so then just hit the little recycle button.
I'm Carter Wilkerson. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm there.
And then the first post should be, "Help me please, a man needs his nugs."
And who doesn't need a
nug? So now I just retweet that?
Done. You've helped the man.
Now we have helped. Carter, we're on your side.
Okay. Two questions.
Okay.
Both pertinent and I think fact-based.
I doubt it.
Bring it on, Spicy.
I like your optimism. Spicy.
Fucking about it.
Who? Or whom?
I like that you became a flight attendant to just whom? Now. Yeah.
Oh, don't start dragging people off where, this fucking show.
Where do we get these nuggets?
They're Wendy's.
And are they only from for him? Or do all of the wee tweeters enjoy a nugget?
Only for him.
Now, if you'll indulge me.
This is bullshit. I should have asked this question before.
If you will indulge me to read the rest of the story, we're going to get to your question.
Oh,
there you go. I'm sorry. She interrupted you. Questions. You were done.
Please proceed, sir. Oh.
As of noon Friday, he had 1.1 million tweets. To that point, Wendy's tweeted this: 1 million, we are officially shook. A third of Ellen.
You spelled it wrong, though. It should be S H E W K.
Whatever.
That's how the Twitter is shook.
Now, a third of Ellen DeGeneres' Oscar tweet that reached 3.2 million, and the most retweeted tweet of all tweets in the Twitter sphere. It's hard to say that really fast, of course. But now he needs his help from Twitter celebrities like Ellen DeGeneres, George Takei, Chrissy Teigen, and other famous
Carlson.
Twitterers.
Something.
People who have more than 20 million followers. Carter's father, Jay Wilkerson, who's 51, didn't even know about that any of this was happening until...
Didn't even know his son had a twat.
Until the son started receiving requests for interviews. Wilkerson's 14-year-old son helped his father set up a Twitter account so he could see the whole ordeal play out. He says, my wife and I think it's great and that if it has a great cause other than eating chicken nuggets for a year, it would be great to solve a life crisis, but also it's nice to have some sort of a whimsical fun with this. Now, to that point, he talked about the donating the year supply of nuggets. No one has said exactly how many nuggets that would be to a food pantry in their local area, or to see if Wendy's would consider another form of reward that would be transferred to those really in need. Neither of them are sure what Wendy's plans to do, if anything. Carter said it would be nice to receive a consolation prize, and many of his Twitter followers agree with that.
Like a sauce?
Wendy's privately messaged
Sweet
him.
Sweet and sour, if you will.
Wendy's privately messaged him and asked for his address, but did not specify their further plans. The screenshot tweet has received 6,100 replies, which are now appearing in different languages all over the world, including Russian, Turkish, German, Spanish, Portuguese, French, Arabic, and various English dialects in the UK. Twitter translations show the majority of the international comments are supportive of his endeavor. Wendy's did not immediately respond to the Reno Gazette Journal for tweet requesting more details. They did try the old-fashioned email, but still haven't received anything else. But overall, it just looks like it's a big bout of fun. I hope the kid gets all the retweets he needs.
Yeah.
And what I am going to venture to guess is that as a great PR stunt, not a stunt, but a good PR move, Wendy's is probably going to wind up donating a huge portion of funds or food to a food bank in the
That'd
Reno
be fantastic,
area.
Yeah.
Right. And if you're hungry, I mean, this is kind of white privilege show rearing its ugly head. Wouldn't we like to be in a place where you could be like, oh no, I'm on a diet, no chicken nuggets. No, these people are fucking hungry. It's food. Send it to them. You know what I mean? It may not be the best food, but they'll be full afterwards. And like, you know what I mean? Like,
not a nugget that's going to pass me by. I enjoy it. And Wendy's nuggets are they're not pressed like McDonald's. They're a whole piece of white chicken.
Yeah, but I mean, but still, it's if you want to send some starving country a butt ton of chicken nuggets, it's food. Yes,
right.
Yeah. Everyone will say thank you. No one's going to be like, oh no, my starving baby can't have chicken nuggets. You know what I mean? Like,
where were you going with that one?
I'm not sure.
Well, I can't eat these nuggets without barbecue.
I was very South Park for a minute. Very South Park-y the opening.
Oh, that was. That was a little. You're right.
But, I mean, that's always my thought about, like, oh, no. Donate the fucking food. People are hungry. It's food. It may not be the best food, but...
So if you're listening, go and try to find him. What is it? Nugs? What's it again? Hashtag?
Nugs for Carter.
Nugs for Carter. Yep. NUGGSFORCARTER. Nugs for Carter on the old Twitter. Get on it. Marnie, your final story.
Final story. Well, this one was something that it certainly wasn't a surprise, but some of the reaction was a surprise to me, and I was a little upset about it, to say the least.
Okay.
And that had to do with our Mr. Manilow. I am a fanilow.
No shit.
Guilty.
Guilty.
I am a fanilow.
With a key change, I'm a fan.
I understand. And so some of the reaction to Barry Manilow coming out, finally, at 73 years old,
when you got it,
was kind of irritating. I'm just not going to.
Again, lie. The gays were not on their best behavior that day.
No, at all.
We've become awfully pompous.
Fucking entitled. Yeah.
But some of these responses, though, I am on board with. And I'll tell you why as soon as you read your story.
There were a couple of things that I took out of comments.
Okay.
The story of a man who had to live a lie his entire life. A monumental waste of time and sad, in my opinion. It takes a serious toll on your mental and physical health to keep something so important a secret. Now it turns out he's been married longer than all three of Trump's marriages combined. I did appreciate that. Congratulations, Barry, for finally coming out. This is the part that got me. But think of all the teen suicides that might have been prevented if they had a role model in the 70s and 80s. Putting that on, almost on him.
Yeah, it's not fair.
Let it go. That's bullshit.
If you couldn't find a reason to live somewhere during the second verse of Weekend in New England, what was
going to get you? Looks like we made it. Just think of all the AIDS cases that might have been prevented if they had a role model.
Now, shut the fuck up.
Thank you. That's where I was.
Halfway through trying to take a chance again, I want to take it wrong.
Looks like we made it.
Yeah. Looks like somebody did.
Can't smile without you.
Yeah. You know.
Well, you got the New York City rhythm.
Oh. Is that what I'm feeling?
It's
a miracle.
Wouldn't
you like to be a pepper too? My bologna has a first name.
I'm stuck on Band-Aids.
We're getting them all. We're ringing every bell.
Like a good neighbor.
State Farm is there.
He wrote it.
I know he did.
I'm just waiting.
Part of the VSM. You know that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm just waiting.
Go ahead.
All right.
I'm never going to stop.
I know. I know you're not. I know.
I'm just trying to get the feeling again.
I know. It's okay, Mandy. Shut it. But Barbara Savelle, I think, put something on Facebook that was very articulate. It was you had
or articulate, well, depending on how you say it.
Did I say it wrong?
Articulate.
Oh, I was just mad. She took. I know about that.
I know nothing about that.
All right.
She had something on there about it was a quote from someone saying, "Way to go, well done, coming out of the closet," and then another one from another gay saying, "You know, took you long enough. Who didn't know? Nobody's shocked." And she just said, "Stop it."
Yeah.
And I loved that. Just stop it. Because the idea is we each have, and you've asked the question on Thoughtful Vulgarity, we've each had our own story, our own perhaps struggle.
Our time.
Some people that are in the chat room haven't even had the opportunity or aren't in a position to be able to come out.
All right.
Right?
Or they live where a government oppresses and you can't do, you have no choice.
Exactly. But then you have, I mean, whatever the reason, whatever the story, it's not anybody else's to judge. That's just my opinion. Yeah. And the fact that sadness that someone would live closeted for that long, in the, wearing that many boas and feathers and
that's Elton John.
Barry, think Copa. But
I know.
The Copa Cabana?
Catalog of hundreds of good songs, that one piece of shit won't go away. Everybody's got that one.
I have to tell you, I just love that.
His name was Rico.
Yeah, they were 8-4.
8-4.
There was a fantastic internet reaction after a lot of the hullabaloo and people just acting like assholes. And it was that people came out of the woodwork, if you will. He admitted after 40 years, he has been with his partner.
Right.
And married for three of them. Very exciting.
His George face has only been with them for about 20
maybe,
years.
Maybe. Yeah. But he knew it before. He knew the difference.
Right.
Congratulations at Barry Manilow on coming out. Welcome to the club. Hashtag never too late. There was Dustin Lance Black. My mom raised me well. She raised me to adore you at Barry Manilow. Thrilled to add my own admiration today. Thank you for coming out, blah, blah, blah. Oh. And then someone else, Kurt Eichenwald, says, The non-reaction to Barry Manilow coming out to me is a sign that the USA is a much better place in regards to LGBT than it was even 10 years ago. Because it really was. It's like, let it go. So what? But then some other people offered some other things. Do not let Barry Manilow's sexuality distract you from the very real murder at the Copacabana.
Who shot who?
That's a true story.
You guys,
a cold case if ever there was one.
You guys, Barry Manilow is on the cover of People. Bette Midler is leading a Broadway musical. What a time to be alive.
Yeah.
It's true. Barry Manilow is gay, has a partner, and their relationship is going on 39 years. Wow, that's the same as 8 hashtag Christian marriages.
Yeah,
no shit.
That's true.
Right.
And I have to say,
Steve Bannon and Barry Manilow are both out. What a time to be alive. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It's cute, yeah.
I have to say, Casey of Casey and the Sunshine Band, or the Steve Miller, who I didn't find till, I mean, I knew of him, but I never saw a video till I was, almost 40.
Okay.
Like, those people, I wanted to know them biblically. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when Casey was shaking, right. Do a little shake, dance, shake, make a little love. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be on the
receiving
both ends
of the love.
Yeah.
Right.
Giver, receiver. So I did want to know what was going on downstairs with them. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, there's all those people, like Michael Hutchins from INXS.
Mm-hmm.
He put some people through puberty. That man was so sexy, he would stop your breath. And you did want to know, could you possibly be the recipient of that loving, you know what I mean?
You'd like to be in my band.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Dream on, white girl. That's from Original Sin.
Okay.
There you
it's
go.
An actual INXS lyric.
Wow.
So, but with Barry Manilow, I just never saw it. Like, I liked the songs.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed like a nice Jewish boy.
Well, he wrote them.
Except for the song about writing the songs. He wrote the songs. Irony. But I have to say, his sexuality was never a part of what was going on there. I never... You know, a little bit maybe you wanted to get a little piece of Steve Perry inside you, but it's probably going to be the nose.
What?
You've been saving that one a while.
Yeah, I love that one.
While he's screaming, oh, Sherry, at you.
But there's those people that had
Valerie.
There was a little bit of sex involved with their image, and his was so devoid of any of that. It was all such good, wholesome entertainment and songs that you could sing along with your grandmother and your 3-year-old. Mm-hmm. Yep. And no one was uncomfortable. No one knew what happened.
Though it had high production value, lots of lights.
Yeah.
It was all set well.
When Earth, there's a heaven when Earth ain't so bad or whatever the fuck it is. There was just nothing sexual. He wasn't selling us anything that we had to interpret. I don't get that.
You know what I mean?
Like Elton John. I like the music, but I don't care what that thing does in the dark. It'll still light up because there's rhinestones. But I just don't...
Valid.
I don't get it. Now, Freddie Mercury, yes, there was a sexiness and a dirtiness.
Of course there was.
George Michael, there was something there that you
Adam
had to reach
Lambert,
out and touch.
I mean, going to...
Right. Yeah, sure. There's... When there's some... But, this is so devoid of sexuality that whatever he identified with, I'd be like, all right, that's whatever.
Yeah.
He's
a fantastic showman.
He's like Elton John, another one. Someone saved my life tonight. I kind of thought that might have something to do with being gay, but I wasn't sure.
And quite
you almost got your hooks in me,
almost.
Bitch.
And my thing is that after, if you've had to struggle that long with something, that whether we can look at it and say, so what? You know, why wouldn't you have come out? I just can't understand the reason that it's anybody's fucking business. Why? And you know, you can look at it and say, Ellen DeGeneres came out and did this great big thing and good. Yes. Melissa Etheridge. So, right when Melissa Etheridge came, I was like...
And took advantage. And
nobody knew
and
that.
I had a lot to say about Jodie Foster, because Jodie Foster was at a protest where they wanted her voice raised, where they wanted her on her big Academy Award night to be like, yes, I'm a lesbian. Yes, I am one of this. I am part of this tribe. So there was a moment politically for Jodie Foster
if
to be involved, if she wanted to. So there was disappointment in her Not because then we wanted to get with her or take a shower with her or just make her take
a
shower.
Not necessarily true.
That's for you.
It's just not necessarily.
Her and Angie Dickinson. But there, somebody take a shower.
Right, but there was that moment of like the political grounds all meeting up near Jodie Foster where she had a voice, and in my opinion, it could have been raised. To lift all, like, the tide, the rising tide raises all ships, or whatever that expression is. Like, she had her moment. I just don't think the Bear Mandalorian, there wasn't a moment for him to be like, I'm going to rescue what? Middle-aged women? Like, who's the audience there?
Right.
And if he kept some middle-aged women happy for a couple more years, or well, if everyone
their got husband should all be all happy.
Right, exactly. Yeah. If everybody got a, you know, their eyes met and... I love that weekend in New England, so
yeah,
I can't say
I'm
enough about
you,
it.
You forget it.
Gets me every fucking time. And I've never taken a road trip. I have never taken a road trip.
And not listened?
That we have not had to have at least one Barry Manilow song.
And my favorite thing about seeing him in concert and him singing that song is that when the build up
comes
and women, he just has laughed over the years that women are throwing their panties at him. That, you know, doing all this. And
when will the strong yearning end?
Exactly. He sings that. Oh. And then he stops singing and he looks out and the women are going nuts. And he's like this.
Even I get a tingle downstairs when I want to know, when will it end, Barry? When will this yearning end? It's coming from deep inside.
I like it when he changes the words and in the same line instead of when this long yearning end, he stops and goes, when will this emptiness end?
Oh,
that just kills me every time.
That's fine too. Yeah.
To me, same moment is.
Could it be magic? Come.
Is like.
Come. Come.
Well, that's it. You're doing
come
it.
Come into my arms.
Donna Summers.
Come. No, like, but he sings it.
I know that, but it's still at your twin. I know your head.
What were you going to say? I'm sorry. That was.
No, the only other thing I was going to say previously, which I saw, was, and it gives you pause to think. I get everybody has their own time to fight. Everybody has their own time to come out. I get all that.
I learned that in Footloose, yeah.
Absolutely.
You gotta cut loose.
There's a time
somebody
to dance.
Somebody brought up a point that, and in fact, this might be the same point that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't read it. And if Barbara had commented on it. It's another friend here locally who was, and I'm gonna piggyback this to one of the things that Al has talked about, we've talked about before. For example, Nancy Reagan didn't give a shit about stem cell research until Ronnie got sick. She didn't care about this until this happened. You know, a lot of people don't care about stuff, and they start to fight when it serves them.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is serving him at all, other than he just, it's out, whatever, nobody cares. But I was looking at the comment was made in regards to where were you during the 80s for all of the fight for AIDS awareness? Sure. Where were you during all the other fights that we've been through all
what,
this
raising
time?
Raising money for Gay Men's Health Initiative, Gay Men's but Health
so, Crisis. So wait, before, okay. Yeah. But that's what I don't know, and I don't know that that's because I haven't researched. I don't know what all money he has been raising money for all these years. I don't know that.
Yeah.
What has he been doing?
Famous concerts for the Gay Men's Health Crisis, as it was known and may still be known, in New York City in the early to mid-90s. And he was the one that welcomed Donna Summer after the backlash onto the stage to sing Could It Be Magic with him at the Gay Men's Health Crisis. And was like, as an ally, and here we are. And there's the one... I never remember what it's called. It's like arts.
It's the instruments.
No, it's arts for something. Oh, and it's there's Music Cares. He did a lot for Music Cares. He's done. I mean, his work in the community across the board for women's health issues, gay health issues is well noted. Like, he was never quiet or turned his back on anybody and raised a fortune for Gay Men's Health Crisis. And for, is it artists? No, there's Music Cares, and then there's artists something or other.
Is it the same one that did like Red Hot and Dance and those albums?
Music Project.
Yeah, he has
right,
his own.
I knew that because he bought, in fact, in my hometown that had the tornado, he came in and bought the entire high school orchestra all new instruments because the tornado wiped out everything.
And what if that's your cause? What if,
that's exactly
you know what I mean? What if arts and schools is more, you know, for me, when voting, I'm more concerned about.
Like, he gives
about,
a grand piano at everywhere he goes, from my understanding. And then has
but
people.
Like for me, for voting, I don't vote as much on gay issues as I do about women's reproductive rights because that to me is more important. Sure. What if arts for children is more important to him than gay issues? What if that's where he, you know, you can't judge somebody because of where they want to spend their money, but he has done a lot for, it's Music Cares, and there's the one, it's arts for something, artists for something, And they use the red. They use the red AIDS ribbon as well. Mm. And it's like Arts for Humanity, or
is it Artists for Humanity?
It's something like that. Might be it.
And it's not to slam that point, because I get exactly where you're going with that. I just look at it and whatever the cause is, but he was just living a good life with his partner for the last 40 years.
And raising money for a cause that came along.
I
don't have to identify with this cause. I don't have to have breast cancer to raise money for breast cancer. I have we've talked about this all the time, empathy. I have empathy. I actually understand that you're going through something that I am not, and I can contribute or help.
Music is what had carried him along. Right. I mean, that was the really big thing, and so that's where love went to.
And honestly, maybe we should save that for a thoughtful vulgarity, but if you're going to give me a choice between giving money to this charity or Children in the Arts, that saved my life. Like seriously, a school without a drama club to me is just a teenage suicide waiting to happen. Sure. If you don't have a drama club or somewhere for young people to go and express themselves and find the freaks of the world that can all come together and find out they're not freaks, you know what I mean? That's where I think all of us, chorus, drama club, it's kind of where everybody found their tribe and was like, oh, Jesus, we
pot
might
smokers
live through
in the
this.
Parking lot. Sure,
that's right.
And if you can get the pot smokers to join the drama club, as I did,
fantastic.
Everybody's happy.
Okay, before we run out of all of our time, we have an hour left, and Al's got a hell of an entertainment section. So let's do our last story.
We're going to blow through it.
No one will be surprised to learn that Vice President Pence is not a loose, casual,
we're not going to get to
fun-loving guy. But many people were surprised to read this little tidbit in Ashley Parker's recent Washington Post profile of Pence's wife, Karen. Quote, in 2002, Mike Pence told The Hill that he never eats alone with a woman other than his wife, and that he won't attend events featuring alcohol without her by his side. It's easy to make jokes about it. It's also easy to argue that this is nobody's business other than the Pences. But there's a deeply troubling worldview at work here, one that has profound implications for policy, and we're already seeing it play out at both the state and federal levels. Now let's take a moment to consider this pair of rules that Mike Pence has for himself. He obviously thinks that every interaction he has with a woman is so sexually charged that it's unsafe to be around them, unless there are other people in the room. Unless there someone might be drinking, in which case even the presence of a crowd isn't enough to prevent something from happening. There's little distance between that perspective and that of an ultra-Orthodox Jew who refuses to sit next to a woman on an airplane, or a fundamentalist Muslim who demands that women be covered head to toe to contain the unstoppable sexual allure that renders men incapable to control their urges. Now, to that point, here is a list compiled of things other than his wife that Mike Pence cannot be in a room alone with.
Oh, boy.
Two women who are not his wife. One woman who is not his wife, and a short guy. Photographs containing women who are not his wife. Men who have the same name as his wife. A dictionary that may randomly be open to a page containing the words wife, sex, or vagina.
It's a hell of a dictionary.
He also cannot be in a room with a curvy lampshade.
Oh, there you go.
Alone.
No, yeah, this is alone. Can't be alone.
Right. If his wife's there.
Curvy lampshade's in the clear,
Yeah. Well, he'll draw his attention.
They're both going to fuck up.
He cannot be alone in a room with the Temptations' Greatest Tits album.
Greatest Tits.
Sofa with more than two pillows.
Very nice. Very nice.
Sofa with one long pillow.
Yeah. It's very rapey.
Peanut butter. Smooth.
Very nice.
Well, the chunky irritates.
Yeah. He cannot be in a room alone with a shag rug. Oh. Also, Will and Grace DVD sets are a problem.
Yeah. Unrelated topic.
Right.
He cannot be alone in a room with legislation that benefits women other than his wife. For some reason, he cannot be alone with paintings of ripe fruit.
Oh.
Jared Leto is another person he cannot be in a room with.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Because
you never know.
These things may sound like someone else, but it's him. A garlic, a crucifix, direct sunlight, or a vampire hunter.
Still applies.
Valid point.
This one's a stretch, but you get there. He cannot be in a room where there are windows with views of hills that, if you squint just right, look like breasts.
or that are alive with the Sound of Music.
He cannot be alone in the same room without his wife with other German Shepherd dogs.
I like a dog with soft blonde hair.
He cannot be alone in a room without his wife if there is a blank white wall where an image of a woman other than his wife could be projected. Peanut butter, chunky.
Oh, very good. Yep, yep.
An empty tissue box that he could possibly stick his dick in. And finally, the last thing that Mike Pence cannot be alone in a room with. I wish I had a drum roll, but I don't. Poor people.
Ah, very good. You cannot. That's good. That's good. I like it.
Why is it that Al walks out every time I have a perfect segue to him? Because it was a perfect thing to say poor people and then just go right into that. But I can't do it. We have to stop. We have to go back because he's not here to take the lead on that.
He gets too crazy.
His only segment.
Yeah. You know, in all seriousness, though, like this Mike Pence thing could be okay if he wasn't in a position and in a world where important things sometimes happen. Yeah. Over a dinner meeting, or you know what I mean.
Well, you could take him seriously.
For like if Mike Pence was just running the local Walmart, go ahead, freak. Like whatever gets you through the day, whatever keeps you from raping people, I'm all for it. Unfortunately,
or putting legislation passed that has nothing to do with your body.
Right, but you know that's why I'm saying if he was the manager of the Walmart down here, go on with your bad self. Yep. Take your wife everywhere. That's probably a good idea so that you don't rape people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But as the vice president, you can't take a meeting with a woman that's a member of Congress because you're going to rape her?
Correct.
Like, what is the lesson
you
from this?
You can't have a lunch meeting with Nancy Pelosi.
Right.
Who'd fuck that?
Who's going to fuck her anyway?
What you need is so who'd fuck that's about him, not her.
You know what? She needs some Laura Branigan. He needs some self-control.
Was the last thing horses? What was the drum roll?
Poor people.
You know, I think with Mike Pence, the other thing that really gets me is his wife and his two daughters. That's what gets
me. So he can't
be
alone with his daughter.
Well, and not just that,
because he might fuck her.
What about them? Right? Like, how is it that they go?
All men are going to rape them,
right?
And it's going to be okay because they went. They entered a room alone,
right. Or they dressed inappropriately.
She was asking for it.
She was
asking for it.
She had it coming.
Did you see what she went was in, wearing?
Yeah, she went into a room with a man. Yep. She should expect to be raped.
Totally.
That is what his mind view.
Yep.
Offers you
is teaching his children
in a strikingly different set of scenarios. Al has been going into rooms with men for years looking for rape, and it's never happened.
Rape whistles still not used.
Ladies and gentlemen, Al Perkins and infotainment.
All right, so we got some shit, but I can't find the right page. Giles has died, but not the lead singer. We have a review of something that's coming to town. Thoughts on SNL, a new show on Spike TV, Will and Grace, Grace and Frankie, movies that have been re-released, movies that are in release, and our book club.
Yay, book club!
And Don Rickles died.
Don Rickles died.
Yeah.
But it had a ripe old age and
absolutely. Yeah. Hockey puck.
So we'll start with that. Don Rickles,
still dead.
Kind of a B-level actor, failed at just about everything. Yeah. Decided to start talking back to hecklers in his audience that were not as enjoying his show. And then had the good fortune of Frank Sinatra being in the audience, who was famous for not having a sense of humor, but actually found being insulted by Don Rickles funny and hired him to do everything in life.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, very
interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And actually, Feud has taken on what an asshole Frank Sinatra was in real life.
Hugely did.
Like, kind of a dick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Don Rickles found the tickle spot on Frank Sinatra, and Frank Sinatra reciprocated by like helping him out. He was an unofficial member of the Rat Pack. He had successes on failures on TV, but he tried and some movie roles, and then he ended up doing the roast,
the Dean Martin roast
for years, and just became known as like.
He was
a great comic, and from all accounts, like there's not one person saying a bad thing about this man. That he was just a genuinely nice, funny person.
Johnny Carson dubbed him the Mr. Warmth.
He was also
called the Merchant of Venom. But no, I thoroughly enjoyed him. That rapid fire that sometimes they get. I totally learned that from him.
He seemed like Joan Rivers seemed like a female kind of offshoot.
Right, yeah.
In a lot of ways.
I can see that. From the similar era.
Yeah, and just the the comeback. Oh, fuck you.
Speaking you talking about the Sinatra, I watched online. I don't watch the show regularly, but there was a little hullabaloo came up that Jimmy Fallon, who has now the Tonight Show. Oddly, the day that Rickles died, Jay Leno was a guest on the show. And everybody kind of thought, what a coincidence. Jay Leno, who was from The Tonight Show, old school, Rickles had been on, inherited it from Carson, you know, all this lineage. They thought for sure there was going to be a big thing about Rickles. They mentioned him once and moved right on and never said another thing about him. But Jimmy Kimmel, who had become great friends with him over many, many years, did a tribute. Like, he was crying on set. Like, he was obviously emotionally very upset about it and everything. But he told the story that I'd never heard before that was funny. But you're talking about how Sinatra had no sense of humor. It was Rickles and his wife, Barbara, and Bob Newhart and his wife, Jenny, I believe is her name, and Sinatra in some booth in a very posh restaurant somewhere in L.A., and it was all white. The whole restaurant was white. Yeah. Everything was white. And for whatever reason, when the waiter set down the food in front of Sinatra, he was pissed. He'd been pissed all night about something. And the waiter also set down a bottle of ketchup. And Sinatra grabbed the ketchup and threw it across the restaurant and shattered it on a wall. And it went everywhere. And the whole place went silent. Rickles says, "Hey, Frankie, pass me the ketchup." And the whole place lost it. But that broke Sinatra. And from then on, Sinatra was fine. From that night, like he got over whatever his issue was because Rickles had broke that ice.
Yeah.
But that's dead silence. Funny. Frankie, pass me the ketchup, would you?
That's very funny.
Anyway, continue on.
And sir. we were just talking about Lisa Lampanelli and Joan Rivers. Mm-hmm. Joan Rivers kept her warmth and her kindness to people very much a secret.
Okay,
like, you know, when Deborah Norville came out and, like, spoke about her death and that, like, even through all the mocking and everything that she was very, very kind to Deborah Norville, I'm like, well, that didn't come across. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, the Barbara Walters, Joan Rivers friendship was always kept under wraps as, like, even though they're, you know, two grand dames of New York, they weren't talking publicly. So you never really knew, like, who was friendly and who wasn't. Like, kept that personal, where Don Rickles, like, you knew who was... He socialized. You sense that underneath.
And you knew who his favorites were: Letterman, Jerry Seinfeld.
And I'm thinking because like me, a lot of people just don't find Jay Leno funny. So
I don't either. Yeah. I don't.
So
at all.
He may have just avoided Jay Leno as like
maybe he did
on the talent train.
I don't care
just
for
that
Jay.
One missed the station. So
yeah, I agree with. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I was never a fan of whatever he was selling, even in his stand-up days. I'm like, oh, I'll get that. Mm-hmm. And then so Jay Giles, the guitarist, not the lead singer, but Jay Giles has died. He's dead.
And Jen is the lead singer of Boston, but I thought that it was the drummer, unless the drummer was the lead singer as well.
It could be, but I thought that was only a Genesis thing.
Yeah, me too.
I was just thinking the same thing.
The drummer is, unless more than one has died.
But Jay Giles was named after guitarist Jay Giles.
Okay.
And some great songs. If you're not familiar with Jay Giles, go back and find out. Love
Freeze
Stings.
Frame.
Freeze Frame. My Baby is a Centerfold, which got way too much airtime, but I love Freeze Frame.
Oh, why can't I think of the name of the guy who is their lead singer?
It's Wolf. It's Peter.
Peter Wolf. You're Peter correct. Wolf. Mm-hmm. You're correct.
He was romantically associated with Faye Dunaway for many years. I don't know if they stayed together, but they were. Love Stinks. Then that's a hot fucking drummer too. That was on my list of like,
what's going on down there?
When I think about when I think about you, I touch myself. So we'll go to our book club. Our book was You by Carolyn Kepnes or Kepnes. I don't know how you would say that. Harrison finished it as well. We both finished it. A book about obsession, kind of. So my question to you, fellow reader, would be, would your take on this book, whether good or bad, be different if it was written by a male than have it be a female author?
I don't. You know what? That actually never occurred to me. To think of it that way. I honestly got kind of bored three quarters of the way through when I realized that he was going to kill her. I was like, meh, I'm over that.
I'm not there.
Well, you had a month and a half to read it.
I know. We warned y'all.
And I don't care.
Yeah. Also,
it's
I'm
a great read. It really
is. No, it was really good. And I was really like sucked into the style of writing. I think she just drug it out too long. I feel like she should have got it done about four chapters sooner.
But didn't that like kind of help explain his disease process a little bit more.
That whole bullshit with Peach and everything, like, you could have handled that way earlier.
Okay, so then my question number two, fellow reader, is, was she attracted to people like Peach and shunning the friends that told her the truth?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, like, she was absolutely attracted to all of the terrible people, and, like, I get that. You know,
so do you end up with a kind of a blame the victim vibe out of the book? Or is that because of the way it's written that, of course, it would be her fault because of the tense it was written in?
I was super indifferent to her, and that might have been because of how it was written.
Yeah, I found that very interesting.
I was super indifferent about the girl. Like, what's it
about,
like,
you? I was indifferent about you. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once I, like, figured out the end, I was like, oh, well, what else? Like, I wasn't upset. No, isn't that terrible?
But is it because of, like, only hearing one side of a story? Does that, like, and that's what I really got out of it, was, like, if you only hear one side of a story, do you start to lack sympathy or empathy?
So my question to you is, did you sympathize with Joe? Were you, like, on his side the whole time?
A couple different points.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when he was judgy of the friends. I really kind of thought he was on the right track, and I thought, if a guy was writing this, would I buy into the, I want to move to California, buy a case of Red Bull and jam out to Mariah Carey? Like,
right.
His reaction to hipsters, I felt, was spot on.
Everyone's reaction to hipsters should be
and
that.
And his treatment of Benji, I thought, was strangely appropriate. But is it because you're only getting, if you only hear one side of a relationship from, like, that one person, does your sympathy change no matter, like, you know what I mean? I thought it was very interesting.
Right.
And so now we have the Gone Girl of first person perspective, but there's no, at least in Gone Girl, you've got girl's perspective.
Right.
First you get gone, then you get girl. So, I mean, this was a strange book. I've never read a book where there was only one perspective.
Wasn't Ross and Rachel on a break?
Yeah.
We were on a break.
But really worth it. I have to recommend this to you. I mean, I would give it, like, 3.5 out of 5 stars.
No, absolutely.
Very
and I gave
solid
it,
beach read.
I gave it 4 on Goodreads. Like, it really just got lengthy for me. Like, I was kind of over his obsession at a certain point. And I think,
because, like, anyone who's going on and on about something, do you not tune out at some point and be like, all right,
yeah,
gonna need another
friend?
And
I kind of did. I'm like, listen. Like, we did this with Benji, now we're going to do this with Peach, and we're eventually going to kill the girl. Can we just get this show on the road?
But I got shit to do. I found the Peach thing to be a very interesting, what's the matter with Katie, kind of. Like,
okay, sure.
Like
That's fantastic.
No, because there's a character in the book named Peach who suffers from something very vague and very unnamed, but instantly, 15 minutes in, she's doing everything that she just told you she absolutely can't do.
Right.
Because
it's all
she
very,
wants
like,
to.
Attention-seeking.
Very, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Well, I'm allergic to strawberries, but I need this daiquiri right now.
Yeah, but I need this daiquiri right now.
No, seriously.
Because earlier today, I had dark cherry juice, so I'm allowed to have strawberries later. Mm-hmm. So, it's very... No, I just saw it in your fridge.
Wow. Like, how the fuck did you pull that out?
I know, I just saw it in your fridge. So, I mean, but a very interesting book, and especially if you're a fan of reading, it's very rare, I found, to have these new... And Ernie and I, because we're doing a whole greatest hits package, when Gone Girl came out, we were on the air and talking about the strangeness of reading only first person. We're so used to... omniscient writing that we very rarely get a story told only from that tunnel vision of
that
one
first
person
writing instead of the third person and
to have no one else ever intervene, and that's why the Gone and the Girl, you get Gone and then you get Girl, and so if you're watching the movie you never really know Neil Patrick Harris's intentions, which they conveyed beautifully in 2 seconds of a movie, but you don't know because it's from Girl's point of view, and we all know Girl's kind of fucked up since she's been gone, so is he a victim or is he the perpetrator of a crime?
Sure.
But you don't...
And that back and forth. Yeah, I really enjoyed that book. I never did see the movie, but I really enjoyed that book.
Very faithful, and you get Neil Patrick Harris has to convey that character's intentions in about 10 seconds.
I remember you talking about that, and then he gets it done.
Yeah, he gets it done. So the next book...
Okay, I'm on Amazon now. Bring it on. What are we reading next?
Okay, so
we
have...
The Handmaid's Tale.
Should we do The Handmaid's Tale? Let's do The Handmaid's Tale. Interesting read from the 80s, which I thought was written much earlier. 84. Women's rights issues, reproductive rights issues.
Oh my God, and Prime members read it on Kindle for free.
Absolutely. Fuck, and it's on the audio, or the, what is that? The
Audible? Audiobook?
The Audible. Audible.
Okay. Also free on Audible.
Yeah.
Okay, so The Handmaid's Tale, and we'll give it to Handmaid's Tale. Mm-hmm. We'll give that to first week of June.
Okay.
June 1st. Everyone agreed? First week of June?
It's brilliant. It's fucking brilliant. One. And for anyone who might need to add to their reading, if you're so interested, it will also be a miniseries thing on Hulu come April 24th.
Oh my gosh, I gotta get this book read first.
Come April 24th, I believe.
So we'll see that in Aaron was saying about mixed.
Yeah, I did too, Aaron. Yep, I got the additional ending. There's a kind of piece to it.
And so he was talking about mixed narrative, and I have read mixed narrative books, but the thing with Gone Girl is there's no third. You need the detective's narrative, and that's what makes it such a delight to read, is because you never know what the detective knows.
Right.
She's only seen through him and her, and you like. It's very frustrating to get to. Part three should be, what does the detective know? Right. You
know? That's a 2-month book club. We're going all the way to June 6th. It feels like a long time.
Okay. You want to go? You want to back it up 2 weeks?
You want to do like May 23rd?
Yes.
Okay.
Very fair. May 23rd. Handmaid's Tale. A Handmaid's Tale.
The Handmaid's
Tale. The Handmaid's Tale.
All right. It's already it's been zapped to my Kindle already.
Brilliant.
Very exciting. So coming to your area soon, or currently in your area, depending on where you are, is An American in Paris. Mm-hmm. Couple of things to be warned about. This is not a conventional musical. This is a ballet.
Mm-hmm.
With a fantastic tap number.
But and that's the biggest complaint that I hear.
This is like the movie An American in Paris. Gene Kelly. And an Academy Award winning Best Picture.
Yeah, I love
it. Beautifully filmed. Vincente Minnelli.
Look at me. I'm like, I'm going. I went to the Nutcracker too, and I didn't understand.
American in Paris. Yeah. Go for a little Gene Kelly
more
movie.
Story and a little bit more singing than the Nutcracker, and not crazy batshit. But there is a 17 minute ballet.
It may be crazy.
Just to let you know, there is a 17 minute ballet that comes in set to an American in Paris, and beautiful. Beautiful dancing, and we were lucky enough to see the principal performers, because no one could do that show eight days a week.
Okay,
so I think they do six, and then there's alternates on two nights, kind of like Evita and Sunset Boulevard. You just can't do that shit that many times a week. Beautiful, beautiful dancing, and there's a tap number about 3/4 of the way through the show. That, I mean, somebody just goes, just imagine you're at Radio City, and like the whole set changes and the whole tone of the thing changes.
So exciting.
To go from a small thing set at a club in Montmartre to Radio City, and it turns into this big tap number. It is excessive dancing. It is so much dance and such a joy of dancing. Beautifully, beautifully performed. Okay. And the music of Gershwin. So you just can't go wrong. My only complaint would be, my personal favorite Gershwin song is But Not For Me. They're singing Songs of Love, But Not For Me. A Lucky Song Above, But Not For Me. Mm-hmm. They do that in counterpoint, and they kind of lose the beauty of the lyrics and the just the lovely melancholy of But Not For Me.
Okay.
That'd be my only complaint, was that like when faced with one of the Gershwin greats, they kind of lose it in a medley. But just a simple thing.
Yeah, because we're going to that next weekend, the 22nd.
It's running next weekend.
Okay, yeah, the 22nd.
Because we're there the 23rd.
And are you there for a matinee or a night?
I'm a Sunday night. I'm Sunday night season tickets.
So you'll see Sunday. I think the matinees are where the I think they can't do it twice in a night. And about 3/4 of the way through the show, the main male, you're going to be like, is he tired yet? Because I'm tired watching him.
Wow,
he just keeps dancing.
Yeah, we're seeing it at 2. We're seeing the matinee.
I'm gonna remember my binoculars.
But I mean, you'll see, and the further away, the better with that show, because it's so big in scope and it's got so many moving pieces. Just very sumptuous and lovely, but a very unusual thing that it's a dance. Okay. It's a dance.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I would have been like,
I love it.
What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
So good.
And then
I'm new to this whole thing.
Out this week we saw. Beauty and the Beast, which my favorite Disney movie of all
time. As old as time.
As old as time. Yeah. Song as old as rhyme. And my the same question is Angela Lansbury, National Treasure, has... Why
innuendo?
Why do we need that? I know. Sorry, Jenny, but I haven't drank in a while. It turns out you don't really need it, but it's just such a wonderful story and such beautiful songs that you kind of do need it.
Yeah.
Who cares if somebody else does it? It's like bitching because somebody's doing West Side Story at the high school production. Just go. You're still going to hear songs from West Side Story. Yeah. You're just going to get this beautifully shot, sumptuous musical with every instrument ever in the world, because God, this movie's loud. If there's a sound mixing Oscar, this one should not get it, because they didn't sound mix at all. They just went balls to the walls with that harp. I mean, that harp is in your face. But Audra McDonald, Ewan McGregor doing the Jerry Orbach part and really does it justice. And once again, Be Our Guest is just such a showstopper of unheard of proportions that you just want to yell out, one more time! From the top! Just do that whole thing again.
Encore.
Like, it's very frustrating to not be able to rewind something that delightful. And those lyrics are just from heaven. But that Be Our Guest number, I was like, can we dance? What are we allowed to do? Can we just see the list of rules for the theater of what I can do for my $17.50, which is what it costs to see Beauty and the Beast in L.A.
Just Jesus Christ.
Sumptuous and lovely. And Emma, whatever her face is.
Watson.
Gorgeous. Whoever that fucker is that the Beast turns into. Sweet Jesus, did we get a tingle down there in my innuendo.
Who played him?
The guy from Downton Abbey.
Oh, Matthew, right?
Sure. I don't know. I found Downton Abbey completely unwatchable. But
Mary Crawley gets me through because...
He is
for bitchy women.
Gorgeous. When that Beast turns into a man, I turned into a beast. I mean, it went ugly. And Gaston is fantastic.
I do.
LeFou is a good time. Yeah. The whole gay thing, like, until the very end where he, like, minuets from woman to man, but he's delightful. And the whole, like, no one spits like Gaston.
Dan Stevens.
I'm awfully good at expectorating.
Oh, it's Matthew, yeah.
Yeah. There's antlers in all of my decorating. I mean, every minute of those lyrics just makes you...
They're so good.
It's just delightful. But it's still a fucking cartoon because, sorry, spoons don't dance. Yeah. Right. So it goes to cartoon mode. It's like when you're watching the Spider-Man movies. You know what I mean?
There you go, Alfie.
Oh, yeah. And they put long hair on him and put him a pair of britches and woo, sweet Jesus.
Oh, you should see him with a British accent.
They're literally britches. I didn't make that up.
No, but...
It just goes with your vocabulary.
It goes with fixins and mudroom and britches.
Yeah, you should watch the first season of Downton Abbey.
Are you cooking possum somewhere?
Lovely. I do have to work harder because the first two episodes of Downton Abbey, I was like watching paint dry. I'm like, something's got to happen
honestly.
And I love some Maggie Smith.
That's one of those shows where so many things happen, but I couldn't tell you fucking one of them. But I love to watch it.
And I just feel like that Julian Fellowes has been making the same movie over and over again for like 20 since Gosford Park. I'm like,
maybe
we've already seen this. We've already seen Maggie Smith do that.
Yeah, but what's her name? The place,
but
Mary
good
Crowley.
Times. And if just make sure that when you see this eventually, if you don't go see it in, if you don't go see it in the theater and get bombarded by every musical instrument that's ever happened, and you know you're in a bad place, when I'm like, can you turn this shit down?
Yeah.
Like,
no
this
kidding.
Might be
you would,
that
yeah.
might be too
I
want
to go see it just because I want to see how they do it. Yeah. That's my biggest thing is how they recreate that.
And it's beautifully done. Audra McDonald is the wardrobe. Stanley Tucci is the piano, which I don't remember from the
animated. I don't remember the piano.
I like Stanley
Chip
Tucci
was delightful and. The what's her butt? Emma Thompson as Mrs.
Thompson.
Potts is right? Emma Thompson?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I thought you were talking about.
And her version of Beauty and the Beast is lovely. You know, she sings it. The yellow dress is gorgeous. Like, there's a little bit more through to the story, so it doesn't seem quite so jolting. But again, not for children. Do not bring children to this movie.
No.
People get shot in the chest, in the back. There's terrifying wolves.
How do you keep kids away from Beauty and the Beast?
I don't know, but there's a part. There's
Be
a,
our guest somewhere else. Somewhere else.
There's a
but I mean,
fight scene in
kids,
the end.
I think that would be
there's
difficult.
There's a fight scene in the end that I think is very upsetting.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't remember in the animated version if he kills the wolves Or if they would just whimper or run away, but in this one they just whimper and run away.
It Disney-fy it a little bit.
Yeah. So there's that. Donnie Darko is in re-release right now, easily in my top 10 movies of all time.
That's what you've said.
The director's cut is out there, and I swore I would never watch this movie again unless I saw it with someone else. So I dragged Harrison along, who had never seen the director's cut, which makes it a little bit more clear. If you've only ever seen the original version that's minus the 20 minutes, there's a little bit of vagueness that some people like. Some people like it to be a little bit more vague. Is it about, is he psychic? Is he mentally unhinged? Is it about time travel? Where the director's version is pretty straightforward as to what this movie's about and how you get from A to B. You still need to do a lot of...
I tried to watch it a long time ago and I couldn't.
But it's so fun. It's where, again, all of our favorite Beth Grant... is in the movie and she's hysterical. Patrick Swayze is fantastic in it. Drew Barrymore, Noah Wiley, Jake and Maggie Gyllenhaal, Mary McDonnell in one of the best performances of her career. There's serious, serious, like laugh out loud parts to it. And if you've recently watched and enjoyed Stranger Things, the person that got to Stranger Things 18, 17 years before Stranger Things did was Donnie Darko.
Okay.
Aping 80s movies. It's a love of all things 80s, the genre, the music, the clothes, and it hits its spot on. It gets the 80s just right. Like, there's the kids on the bikes, and it's all throwback because it's from 2001. And the original version, the director was contractually obligated to keep it less than 2 hours. So he made some edits that he wasn't fond of, but liked. He liked the outcome of the movie, but thought, well, maybe longer would be better. But when it's funny, it's really fucking funny. And it has something to say about teenagers and high school and like people following leaders blindly because of like righteous stuff and like Jesus and schools. And it's got a lot to say about, it's kind of a nice follow up to Heathers, as I would say. Like, okay. Once you've absorbed Heathers, then go on to the grown up, weirder version. But it's just great. So the re-release is in theaters and it was good. It was good to see it with somebody who afterwards you could talk about. Because it's a movie that you can't just watch and go home. Like, you need to be like, what the fuck did you think about that part? And you really do it. It's a discussion movie. It's one of those great things like a book club where, like...
I thought for sure I was going to get murdered in my sleep after I saw that because I saw it with someone who loved it. And I didn't like it at all. And I'm pretty sure... like she was plotting my murder as I slept because I hated it and she loved it so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have bad feelings about the movie in general.
And one of the things about the original version where it was left kind of vague was it mirrored my seizures. Like what I experienced in seizures was very much what they were portraying in the movie. So that was my into the movie was like the lost time, the story that you couldn't quite understand, the waking up a little confused by like, where did that time go? Where have I been for the amount of time of a seizure? So that was my end to that movie. I thought it was so creative, like the way they like fit in lost time. And because in the original version, mental illness is on the table.
Okay.
And it's laid out there as like a possibility of what this kid's going through. But just really good. Spend the money. Grace and Frankie, I do not remember watching season 2 last year. For some reason, everything about watching season 2 last year is a complete and total blank. I have rewatched that and cannot figure out what the hell I was on or was doing.
Oh, I remember all of it.
A delight.
Yeah.
Funny. Funny. Rita Moreno is on that show for 36 seconds. And
as the neighbor.
Oh, as the neighbor. And she just brings out the best in Frankie. And I cannot, there's a scene and you have to watch it. Episode 2, they go back to Saul and Robert's house to get stuff. And Rita Moreno barges in and starts telling them how wonderful Robert and Saul are. And she's telling Frankie about her husband. And she's like, do you know the mirth in his eyes? Clearly, I know nothing. And then she's telling Jane Fonda. She has this whole conversation with Jane Fonda about, I've always, you know, because they're surprised that Rita Moreno had dinner with them as a couple and that Robert can make a mojito and their dinner parties. And Jane Fonda's just blank face, like, this, you're describing our husbands and we don't know these two men that you're describing. Mm-hmm. And so Rita Moreno's like, I always wanted to get to know you, but you were so busy with the kids and on your way to the, your job and on your way to the car to get the kids to school and on the way back from the car. And they cut to Frankie and she goes, how do you catch a moonbeam in your hands?
I have not yet begun to watch the new season.
The fact that she's doing musical line quotes that Rita Moreno has no idea that she's just getting fed line after line from musicals. That's funny. And just playing it dry. And Rita Moreno is like, I don't know how to catch a moonbeam. But anyways, Grace and Frankie. And now I'm into season three. And it's just gentle, good humor, delightful, great chemistry between all of them. I've come to like all like the kids I like more.
I haven't started watching yet. But then I found out, I thought they were releasing it like a week at a time, and they just released all of it.
They just dump them all on you at a time.
That's the joy of Netflix.
Well, yep. I
why do you think we brew pots of coffee and watch Orange is the New Black one marathon night when I'm like cracked out of my mind and crying and looking to Kenya for solace?
Part two of The Get Down is out right now, too. Did you watch the first part?
I have not, but I'd like...
Do it.
I know, but I've been told.
Do it.
Angelica's in the second part.
Oh, okay. So, musical thing. Will and Grace is coming back next year for 10 episodes, and without even being aired, they've already upped the episode count to 12.
Two more.
So, I love it. Clearly,
I'm not enjoying Karen with red hair though. I just it's the same style. It's just different color. I don't like it.
Oh, but she had red hair a few times on that show.
Better dark to me.
We talked about that. The Mist is coming to Spike TV as a miniseries. A lot of times Stephen King short stories get made into movies and they're okay, but you wish they were a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little nervous about this, where I think The Stand needs to be like The Walking Dead, like seven seasons in a movie. The Mist, I thought that movie was handled perfectly, beautiful, and it's Frank Darabont. That gave us The Walking Dead. He's the one that turned. He gave us The Green Mile. He gave us The Mist. He gave us Shawshank Redemption.
Okay.
We can trust him.
I feel like
he's the one that brought us The Walking Dead on TV. And then they fired him after two seasons because he wanted to keep it a serious fucking show. so he handled The Mist, and I thought he did a beautiful job. And now that Spike TV is making it into a miniseries, I'm not sure where to go with it, but I'm very intrigued by the trailers. So look online and you can find The Mist, in case you're a Stephen King fan, as I am. The Mist was his answer to The Langoliers, or have you pronounced that word?
The Langoliers.
The Langoliers, which ended without an ending, and it left you hanging. He left it on a cliffhanger, and everyone hated him.
Yeah.
So he wrote The Mist, which is a very similar story, similar themes, but it had an ending. However bleak and horrible the ending was, it had an ending.
That's a funny thing about people. Like, it can be a terrible ending. You just have to give them an ending.
Yeah. And then SNL this week, which I'm surprised we didn't touch on. Louis C.K.
I haven't seen it.
Alec Baldwin plays Trump and Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I did see that side by side. And a little bit
of ego stroking. He did interview himself.
Okay.
So that was a little creepy, but his Bill O'Reilly is so spot on. But Louis C.K., they do a spoof of a guy on a couch who saves the world.
Well, the armchair activist or the...
Yeah, the thank you for your comments on Facebook.
I've seen all the headlines. I just haven't bothered to watch all the movies.
Very, very good. And boy, do they go after Kylie Jenner. Is that the Pepsi thing? And they don't... They run a ram right up her ass. Like, she is now officially on the public shaming spit. Now this one I'm going to kind of go with it because that commercial is so misguided and so off message.
The way Colbert dissected that was so hilarious to me. Like pointing out everything. Here's all the beautiful extras in the world in the commercial. Here's a white guy. Oh, here's a strategically placed Asian. Like went through the entire commercial. Oh, and horrible it was.
SNL does the same thing because the director of the commercial starts calling people to tell them the idea of it. And they're like, oh, don't film that. And then like he has them pass the phone around and he's talking to them, trying to explain it to them. And they're all shooting him down. And then he hears Kylie Jenner comes out of her trailer. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Comes out of her trailer and is like, isn't this great? And he's like, oh, shit. Like the only person that thinks it's a good idea is Kylie Jenner. Right,
the white privileged girl. Well, she's not even white.
Right. How does she identify?
She's got a multi-ethnicity.
Aren't they Armenian?
Armenian, yeah. So, so if you get it, this week's SNL was, and Louis C.K., it's when you get a good writer, you've got a, like, not a good writer, he's a great writer. You get a great writer who's willing to, like, really take you to the edge of what SNL can do. Like, you're so on the verge of, like, God damn, this is somebody's going to come and shoot me for watching this. Like, it's very uncomfortable, very political, very on point.
Oh, good.
A little bit of you could see where the right could come after Alec Baldwin for playing both characters and interviewing himself. But the only thing better than his Trump is how good he does Bill O'Reilly.
Really?
It is shocking.
Okay.
I'll have to watch.
I was seriously like I was amazed. Yeah, that's one of the lines. When he's calling around and he's trying to get his friends and family, he goes, can you put a black neighbor on the phone? No,
that never ends well.
So that was my last thing. But SNL, and I can't believe, I thought you would all have watched it. I was all disappointed.
I haven't yet.
I've been under a rock.
Too many other things going.
We're very busy.
Or at the rock, drinking, depending on how it worked out. I'm not sure. Okay, so that's your entertainment. So we're going to. That's it for you?
Yep, that's it.
Got it. Here we go.
Two things is what she brings. Two things is what she's talking about. Two things, important little things. That is what she's spouting out.
You just need two things.
That means two things.
Let's get two things clear.
And then two things about yourself.
And I've come to share with you one of two things. No, two of two things. We're sharing two things right now.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world.
Quick, grab two things you love.
It can be two things.
Only two things in the world I'm scared of.
Rise of Frazzle, two things.
Remember two things.
I believe in two things.
Guys are only after two things.
What's better, doing two things at once or just one?
Never half-ass two things. Whole-ass one thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kat Carlson.
All right, so two things.
Really?
Just two things.
Okay.
First one, a little preachy. Second one, a little fun.
Mm-hmm.
First one, your state legislatures are going to fuck you over repeatedly.
Oh, yeah.
Until you start paying attention to them. Two cases in point. Number one, state of Arizona. Every time I open the goddamn paper, we've got school vouchers now. We've got they're changing the Constitution and our access to ballot initiatives. All this stuff, nobody's watching. Nobody's paying any attention. Your state legislature is going to fuck you over. They're going to take away your education. They're going to, or your kids' education. They're going to dismantle public schools. They're going to get rid of every human service you can think of that you rely on the government for right now is going to go away. And I don't know who's going to take it over. Case in point number two, North Carolina is still on the gay marriage thing. They filed a bill. Now, in fairness, a lot of bills get filed in various congressional bodies that never go anywhere. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, the internet has spent a lot of time freaking out about bills that don't get any kind of traction. However, North Carolina did decide to file a bill to make gay marriage illegal again, arguing that the Supreme Court overstepped their bounds and had no right to make that the law of the land. And so they're going to go ahead and put that through and put it to a vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're threatening to null and void every marriage in state.
Now, keep in mind, when that was on the ballot in North Carolina in 2012, 60% of people who voted against gay marriage. So that's a state that really could take this fight all the way back to the Supreme Court.
Okay.
And it does, you know, their bill does argue that the Supreme Court really overstepped their bounds in trying to define the meaning and understanding of marriage in this country. Scary shit. Pay attention to your local shit. I know that national politics is a lot of fun, and I know that it's on your TV around the clock.
No, not nearly as much as local. Not at all.
We have local on a lot more now.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I mean, I don't watch
and
it.
And I did that subscribe thing that I told you about that I had mentioned to you guys, where you can see how everybody votes and you can get it sent
awesome.
To you.
Awesome, yes.
You can get it sent yeah. to you and what they're voting on and what it, all of it. Mm-hmm. So it really is a great.
Yeah, because we've got to start in every state in very grassroots ways, like start to get these houses under yeah. control, because these are the ones that are really going to screw us over real bad. Right. The other ones are going to take us to war, and that's a whole other problem. But
and who takes? Someone just took on gerrymandering. Was it last week tonight that did it this week?
Maybe I'm behind.
Somebody did it, but what they were one of the interesting parts at the end of the this thing that I watched on gerrymandering of districts was that liberals tend to live in very, very small areas. They like big cities.
Yeah.
And they leave these rural districts unmanned. So they're saying if you really want to affect change, you have to get people that are liberal to start living in these smaller towns and affecting change and voting there. But unfortunately, the draw is once you get to drama club and find out that you're not the biggest freak in your town, you leave for a bigger
you're
city.
You're moving to the city.
You get the fuck out of right. Dodge
more
and the
freaks.
Cornfield. Yeah, to find more freaks so that it's more condensed. So on the one hand, it is unfair how they're doing some of the gerrymandering. But on the mm-hmm. other hand, it's kind of fair if everybody's in one small district, then why make the rest right. of the state do what this one part of the state wants to do? So it's a very interesting
sure.
construct, and it affects your state level, because your state level, once you win the House, especially like this year, whoever wins, actually I'm not sure who would be, if it's in either 18 or 2000, then you get to redraw your maps based on the census.
Right.
So you need to make sure that you win the election that goes along with the census and the redrawing of the maps. So I think it's more important to win in 2020. So it's more important to win the 2020 election and be there for 2021 than it would be to win in 2018 and be there for 2019, because most of these seats are 2 year seats.
Right.
So they were saying, like, if liberals were smart, they would have an outreach program to get other liberals to move to small towns and affect these districts, because we live in a very segregated society by red and blue.
Sure.
And that the red is more rural. So they have to be represented, even though there's not many of them. You still have a district that maybe, you know, one part of Arizona is like looks like half the map, but it's really six people. So it might be last week tonight that John Oliver handles that very interesting way, and why your state legislatures are so fucked
Meow
up.
Meow Cal has up there the last week tonight with John Oliver.
Oh, okay,
so I
yeah,
think that's. I haven't. That was another one I started. But
and really, really, it's an interesting topic, and there's no
totally.
There's no right or wrong, because they're both kind of
right,
kind of right,
both kind of wrong,
kind of right, kind of right. Yeah,
I don't know. I'm pretty sure this crazy town just ends in the Hunger Games anyway. So
right, but
I don't know why I'm stressing out about it, because I'm going to be amazing at the Hunger Games.
But your local, your and I'm just going to jump in front of the first bullet the minute the cable goes. So we already know how that ends.
Right, you useless at the Hunger Games.
But your local government is the shadow conspiracy people you've been looking for. That's where they're hiding.
Yeah.
In North Carolina, in these states that are rural on top of rural on top of rural.
Like, in Arizona. Like, crazy politics have been coming from here.
I hope
for
when
really
you go to
time.
Battle, you are in your new Volkswagen van.
Well, yeah. I
hope
I
so,
too.
Because
then we can fire from the back, facing the other way.
Oh, my God.
I'm not saying I don't have thoughts on the zombie apocalypse. I'm just saying I'm not going to be there.
You know what just happened in my head? It was like a cross between Mad Max and Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh,
like, well played, yeah.
Put them together, and that's what I want happening out of the back of my Volkswagen van.
There's that.
Oh, and anytime you want me to sit down and watch that new Mad Max, Oz in.
I know.
That's fucking amazing.
I can't believe I've only seen it once.
That and coffee, and I'm jazzed for weeks.
Let's buckle ourselves to lawn chairs in my living room.
Do I need to rumble?
All right, thing number two is very short and very sweet. I am on a semi-Facebook hiatus in an effort to up my Twitter
usage. I noticed
usage.
That.
Your twat, yeah.
Yeah, and there's an end to this because I want the little blue check mark. Average people can apply to become verified.
Twitter or for Facebook?
For Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah, Facebook. I don't know what Facebook does. I'm on Facebook overload. I need a break. So okay. I've removed it from my phone. Okay. I will still be posting and checking on Facebook just a little bit more intermittently, because I found myself for hours, like literal hours, like mm-hmm. on Facebook, not doing anything productive, just can't stop looking. So I've taken it off of my phone.
Okay.
I'm still like scheduling updates because I'm still hocking the t-shirts. We're almost done. Although I do have over $700 that we've put together through this t-shirt thing.
Good for you.
And sponsorships.
Good. Looks like we made it.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
So the t-shirt thing has been very fun. And I will ship you. You cover shipping, but if you want to go to catcarlson.me.
Oh, weird.
And, well, because there's a whole complicated thing with com.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, catcarlson.me. And the form's up there. I'm going to take the form down on Friday night / Saturday morning whenever I get around to it. Okay. If your order's not in, I don't want to hear about it. Too bad. We're done. Limited edition. But I will ship if you cover approximate shipping costs. Even internationally, I'm not quite sure how that works or how much that costs. But if you want to put the money in, you can get money to me via PayPal, Venmo, or the Cash App.
Look at you.
I know Amina has asked. So that's a thing. But my new ridiculous for no apparent reason other than I can goal is to become Twitter verified. Some of the criteria that they list when you start to go to the application mm-hmm. is, producing content on Twitter. So I got to up my game there. They do want you to have a website and be kind of a verifiable online person. So we're going to apply and we're going to get that little check mark.
I'm curious. Cause
I know. Isn't that going to be fun?
Yeah.
I like it.
And that's two things.
That is.
Nice.
Both things.
Both things.
Well done.
Both. Dos thingos.
That's like 3 weeks in a row. I'm prepared.
Nice. I like it.
All right. We are running short on time, but I think we've got one. We can fit this in and we're going to
do it.
We can do it.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
So after
5 years.
Or two and a half.
However you identify.
Fair. As the learning and the growing comes up, what, like in this past chunk of time in the year of our Lord 2017, what have you seen as a change in yourself? Like what's new about you that wasn't there in 2012?
My
is that
ass.
A Beauty and the Beast reference?
Oh, no.
No, not at all.
Because there's something there that wasn't there before.
Yes. I can't wait to own that on video.
I like it.
Marnie?
No, that's you.
No, it's you first.
No, he was looking right at you.
Yeah, but you're always first.
I know. I really thought I was getting past this.
I make really good eye contact, which helps the conversation.
Yeah. Fair enough. I know that we're short on time, so go to her.
Okay.
Please.
Oh.
Thank you.
That's some bullshit. First of all.
I've already got my answer. I already know.
Yeah, I don't.
Second of all, back to you, Mark.
Yeah.
Back to you, bitches.
Yeah.
Damnable.
No, we're not playing this game because this is a slippery slope and this never ends.
Yeah.
We still have 8 minutes. Go ahead.
For shit. Could you ask the question again?
Could you use it in a sentence?
Yeah. What's different about you? What's changed since 2012? Like, what's the new...
I'm not drinking.
Oh.
I mean, right now.
Oh.
But I mean,
like
in general...
Ever?
In general, I mean, I'm really not drinking anymore. Oh. So, no. I mean, I have a couple of things in there.
Well, now I have two answers to give.
Yeah. No, but I mean, just... Not really. I mean, I might have a glass of wine here or there or whatever, but like I couldn't speak 5 years ago. I could, you know, I took full advantage of
Kung Fu Panda
and the fact that we could drink on here and say whatever. Now I cuss more to make up for the fact that I'm not drinking, you know, and we can get away with that. But other than that, I would say that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all.
I'd like to agree with that, but
good answer.
Most of a bottle of wine missing.
that's all right.
It's not judgy. It's just, I mean, I think just at one point I was like, yeah, okay, now I'm just gonna, whatever.
Oh, and on Grace and Frankie, Grace drinks and drives constantly.
Constantly.
Oh, constantly.
Like, there are so many scenes where, like, how did she get from A to B? She drove after 17 martinis. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it actually got to a point where it's like, wait, why is she sitting outside of the DMV that drunk?
We should tweet it, though.
Yeah, we should.
We should.
Put that on your list.
I'm going to put it on my list. Okay, so I think this is just... Does it have to be podcast related or
no.
just Howard
no,
different
just
since
in time? Yeah, okay. In time. Now, are we going to go with her for the last 5 years or the last 2.5?
I was just saying, pick 2012 as your starting point.
Okay. Strong. Past 5 years.
I think I have just kind of in life, and this being one of the experiences that has kind of helped that change, I think I have become a little less judgmental and a lot less chip on my shoulder. Ooh. I think 5 years ago, Kat Carlson was kind of spoiling for a fight at all times, just ready to be mad at everybody. And I feel like I've kind of let that go and become a lot more willing to just believe what you say and, you know, like whatever bullshit people want to feed me, as long as it's not hurting anybody and doesn't affect my life, it doesn't affect your vodka tonic. All right, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No?
I like it.
Yeah. So I feel I'm a kinder, gentler.
I didn't know you as well pre
the
this
kinder,
show.
Gentler, mm-hmm.
But I will agree with you only from the standpoint of I remember when you worked at that bar that we won't mention the name of. And I used
The Cash In Country.
And I used to interact with you.
Yeah.
I remembered going in with a little bit of a guard from the standpoint of I always felt that whatever I suggested or however we were going to attack a problem, you were ready just to, no, we're not. Like, you may want to do this, but this is how we're going to do it. Like, I just felt like you were not confrontational, but I felt like there was a certain gentle hand.
Confrontation coming?
A gentler hand was how to deal with you to keep that, you know, spring-loaded snake from coming out of the...
Angry.
Yeah, from coming out of the box or something. I just, yeah... But no, but I agree. I think that getting out of that environment
and coming out of that environment helped that a lot.
Good improvement on you.
Yeah, and you know, even this show, like just conversation and different points of view, like
helps.
Yeah, yeah. When you meet different people that think differently, you like that affects you. And that,
oh, it definitely does.
I basically have 3 points to do with this. One is similar to what Marnie said. I've reached the age, and they're going to kind of piggyback. I reached the age and it just literally last year was a huge just change. I really don't drink. I mean, you've seen weeks and weeks have gone by. I drink coffee. I don't drink like I used to. And I do not care to be out in it anymore. Yeah. I have reached that saturation point where let the kids have it, do it. I'll drop in here and there, but I'm far from being a partier and going out as much. Which is another reason I gave up doing the Wednesday night, you know, DJing the show. Mm-hmm. I'm done with it. So that's a big one. I don't care about that as much. Again, I'm drinking. I had a beverage tonight, 5th year anniversary. Hoo-ha, whatever, we're done. But I mean, I won't drink the rest of the week. There's a very good chance that won't happen at all. To that point, I've also lost weight because of that. Yeah. So that's another nice thing. But the bigger thing that
we proved that doctor that started bitching about us wrong.
If you let
us drink full tilt, we'll drink a little less eventually.
Yeah. 5 years, bitch.
I mean, 5 years later.
That's stupid.
She just wasn't seeing big pictures.
So, but the other side of this, and I know, you two will really see that. Well, you will too, because you've been listening since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest change for me is I couldn't have given. Yeah. Majority two shits about politics
right.
5 years ago when we started, because that was my anti. I didn't want anything to do with politics. It was a funny. It was a morning show at night. It was all about light and fun and having a good time. But motherfuck, there we were going right into an election season, and I couldn't. There was no way I could avoid it.
Yeah, the train was coming right at you.
2012, there was no way I could get out of that.
So in a way, you've let go and let God.
I don't believe in God, but anyway. I think that's been the biggest.
We're on a train again. I didn't know.
Big turnaround for me is the fact that I didn't care so much for that. Now I'm maybe not so much involved as I am just at least paying attention and aware of what's going on with that.
And soon you'll post things on Facebook that are political without tagging all of us.
I don't mind tagging.
I don't either. But it's always funny because I'm like, you could do that without a crutch. It could just be you that has that point of view.
Oh, I only do it to make sure you enjoy it.
Absolutely.
I don't have to have the crutch. No,
I'm in. No. No, and I think it's fantastic. I think it's so much fun that you're involved in it more. Because your takes on it, because of not being involved for so long or really paying attention
like a fresh
for so long.
Set of eyes.
It is. But it's, I think it's just kind of cool to see that those things from your point of view of how you piece it together and whatnot. I just think it's fun.
Yeah.
I think it's very fun.
Got it. Okay, we got 2 minutes. Go ahead, Alfie.
So, Joe says I'd rather not take on as much money but have a little more free time to be able to work on things that I really want to work on. That comes up with me a lot. That work-life balance is something over the last 5 years that I'm like, because this really was just a day that I didn't work. Like, this was just a shelter from the storm to be like, okay, I can work 6 days a week, but I can't work Tuesdays. And it's come down to, like, I can work 3 days a week, and I can't work Tuesdays. Because, I mean, I really do, I do like money, and I love to spend the money and spread the manure around, but I have learned that I need to, like, I have to take care of myself and do the right thing. And the big change with me is all the different things that I've kind of learned about that if you had asked me 5 years ago, I know everything. I really do not need your,
Well, you're still a lot like that.
Yeah. But at least I feel in my perspective, in my feelings, that I'm now willing to, like, listen to the story and be like, oh, yeah, you know what? I never thought of it from that. Sure. That point of view, like, all of a sudden I'm like, it's part work, it's part experience with other people, that I'm like, okay, there's probably 17 different other point of views and I should probably hear about 12 of them.
Sure.
And I'm much less willing to just jump in and, like, make a judgment and just start fighting instead of like, all right, I guess we can listen to all you motherfuckers and figure out what we're talking about.
Marn, did you contribute to this?
I did. My drinking.
Oh, just that. Got it.
In the last 5 years, Jenny has taken on a lot of her honey's health issues, which she's doing really well now. Fantastic.
Very good, Jenny. That's hard. That's a lot to take.
Very.
That is.
When you're...
And we all know personally in the room, like, people that are taking on other people's health issues and helping them get through a difficult time, and that's not easy.
Nope. Absolutely.
Make sure to take a minute to take care of yourself.
Yes, because if you don't take care of you, you won't be there to take care of them.
Yeah, that is absolutely the truth.
Holy cow, 5 years, boys and girls, congratulations, we've done it. And thank you,
everyone, for a lot of fun.
And all the ships at sea. Well, as we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday!
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. We give you your day back. What you do with it is up to you.